Riders, Rangers, and Rebels, Season 2. Sugarman Shinobi is the legendary underground toy dealer. Dawson Rider is Awesome Rider. And Jedimon is sleeping.
Hello and welcome to RRR Season 2, Episode 2.
We're in space.
Yes, I know what your name is, and I know we're in space.
We're in space. As usual, this title makes no sense at all, people, but we forgot to use it when we did the space episode, so yeah. We're in space.
We're in space without Kevin.
One-ups?
Just deal with us again. We'll make it humorous. We'll make it seem like it's not even gone. Whatever. I'll figure
silence.
It out.
Silence. All right. I'll do my one-ups first because you get to tell the epic shopping story.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Okay.
So, because mine are pretty boring. So, I haven't gotten any packages. People have been surprised that I've talked to that I'm not getting anything. All my stuff is shipping at the end of this month, the first day of next month, and it'll be here probably in the first week of next month. So, I'm not expecting anything Japanese. I've been filling my time with buying Transformers and playing with them because they are fun. I'm really digging Roadbuster for some reason, and Shockwave is the shit, even if he transforms into a Street Sweeper. And Skids is fun, and Megatron is awesome. But yeah, I've just been buying Transformers and playing with them. No Toku purchases other than the ones that will be talked about in Epic Shopping. I have just been here watching some Time Force and catching up on stuff I need to watch and crying because Chuck and not a Nielsen family is over. So that's all I have to say because Brian has the epic end of the stories.
Okay.
One man, Epic Shopping alone, betrayed by the country he loves.
That's what it felt like, dude.
I had to set it for you.
That's what it felt like. So as far as what's up, honestly, nothing, really. I haven't bought anything new except for Skyhammer.
We're in space.
Generations Warpath and this Legends set that had Soundwave and Bumblebee in it. But other than that, I haven't got anything. A couple things shipped, but nothing will get here yet. My AmiAmi stuff won't get shipped until next weekend or this
we're having twins
or something. We are
twins, Basil.
I'm so happy that we're expecting this. Fantastic. So
fantastic. Oh my god.
Anyway, the other night I won't do that. I don't even remember what the hell night was. It was Monday night.
I think it was
Sunday
night. Because it was yesterday. Yeah, because it was yesterday when I was out yesterday gallivanting.
It was Sunday night, Sunday to Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was that night, apparently. I don't remember days anymore. So they all just mushed together.
They kind of do.
So I was minding my own business, like I normally am, about 5 in the morning. I flip open my laptop. I just kind of hit the refresh button a couple times because I'm still awake at that hour in the morning for some strange reason. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, AmiAmi is like, I'm not going to update. Bleh. So I'm like, fine, fuck you. And I close my laptop. I curl up into a little ball.
And then, began to weep.
I have no idea what music it was, but like it was like a rock song or something. It was really loud, and it kind of like woke me up a little. I'm like, I looked at the clock. It was 5:30. I'm like, oh, I'll check. And I checked, and I seen that Metal Set EX was listed as now on sale. I was like, shit! I threw my phone. It was lost in the sheet somewhere. I had no idea.
Lost in space.
Just space. Like us. And so I flip on my laptop real quick. Thankfully, it actually loaded quickly. And so I clicked on it. I was like, now on sale. Temporarily sold out. I'm like, no. And I got really upset.
He was in slow motion, too.
But then I looked at the vinyls for the Greeds, and I realized that they wouldn't be sold out because they don't sell out. So I was like, ah, oh, they're trolling me. They're going, troll. And
Sorry.
I was like, well, this shit's gonna hit the fan. I'm ready for this. I was like, refresh. And all of a sudden, Metal City X was like, add to cart. I'm like, yes, click. And so I got mine, and then I got Dawson's. Then I got Kevin's. And then they were gone.
And then he was gone. Kevin disappeared.
He was so excited, he just vanished. And so I was like, oh, okay. And then they had Candy Toy Set 4 in stock, and then they also stocked that Ankh arm. I was interested in it, but I decided money is bad. And so I got the three of us the Candy Toy sets. And so that was all fine and dandy. And it just then dawned on me that they could have updated Gokai stuff. So I'm like, shit. So I refreshed the Gokai stuff, and sure enough, Ranger Key Set 2, Ranger Key Set 3. I'm like, ah,
Turns
more!
into an angry pirate.
And so I clicked on those. They were still in stock, so I was like, edit card, edit card. I got mine, my two. I got Dawson his two, and then at that point, three sold out for some reason. I don't know why, because it's just the goddamn Go Rangers. It's nothing cool. But that was sold out, so I was like, oh, I can get Kevin two. So I got Kevin two, and then I got Rider Zero two, and then I got Sound Out two.
That's what's weird is the Go
So
Rangers are bald.
I'm not sure why the Go. I don't. My only guess is that they ordered less of the Go Rangers,
Yeah,
maybe, and
maybe.
so they like
Or
ordered.
maybe they just produce less of them.
Maybe because it's a stupid
'Cause they're
set.
bald.
I don't know why an entire Ranger Key set's dedicated to the Go Rangers. Make it like an EX set or something.
They're bald in space.
They
Space.
are. So I was that took like a span of about a half hour. I was panicking the entire time, and I was all confused and
Became
didn't really
confused.
know what was going on, and
Started attacking
I
himself.
didn't know who needed what, and so I was like, ah, who needs what? Ah, add to cart, type, 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 and then I mistyped Kevin's goddamn email address like 12 times because his last name's so fucked up.
That's why I don't use mine in anything. My last name's
Well,
Ryder.
if you used your last name, you're done.
You're
I
done.
would never order for you ever. I have no idea how to spell it. I think I have a guess, but I don't know
I was 9 years old when I learned how to spell it. I didn't bother before then.
years old. So that was our retelling of Epic Shopping Day.
It was epic, and I just woke up. I was like, "What, Cronny? Cronny, did you get me a 4-man metal set?" I turned British because that's what I am in the morning. I'm British in the morning. I'm training to make my kids British.
So
So
for
that was.
once, I actually have a metal set pre-ordered. It's amazing.
I know. I'm so shocked. I'm so happy that I have a friend as good as Brian.
Heck yeah.
Well,
So,
I
that was a fun time.
don't know. It was a very interesting story, and I'm so glad. Now I don't have to worry about metal sets till August. And then we don't have to worry about them till eggs. Unless Edgy gets like a magenta metal set or something. I don't know. Chartreuse.
I'm still open the whole the metal set or not the metal set, the egg thing just doesn't pan out.
Oh, God, yeah. Me too. Represent.
So anyway, shall we do this news shit?
Yes, let's do the shit of the news.
Yeah. So,
In space. In
all
space.
right, so we are starting with Gokai Silver Unmasked, brought to you by Ryokyu.
Rocky
Oh,
should totally say that.
we made the post. So, new scans have emerged on the net, revealing the identity of Gokai Silver, the sixth Gokai. And, okay, so Gokai Silver's alter ego is a Super Sentai fanatic, Gai
Guy.
Ikari, which is, I think he's Gendo's long-lost son.
I actually think he's Guy from Lost. Fuck, what's the name of the movie? Galaxy Quest. I keep wanting to say Lost before Galaxy. Do I have a last name? Do I?
Do I?
Yes, go ahead.
So he's an Earthling who joins the pirates to defeat the Zangek Empire and defend the peace. So he utilizes the power of the Gokai Cellular to turn into the Silver Ranger. However, it's about to get golden. Haha, your puns are funny,
It's gonna
Ryo.
go golden.
When the gold mode is activated through a special gold anchor key inserted into the bottom of the Gokai Cellular, he wields a Gokai Spear that has three alternate forms: spear, anchor, and gun. Guy pilots the Go Jujin, the Gatai
So
form
good.
of two mechas known as Goju Drill and Goju Rex.
Awesome.
Guy is chosen to be the shining new ranger when his heroism is put to the test. Guy saves a girl's life. Guy, this is so weird.
Guy saves a girl's life.
Guy saves a girl's life from a car accident.
That
It's
sounds
so
like a
funny.
news headline.
His brave efforts, he's proved his eligibility to be a hero. He is later visited by three rangers in his dream that judges worth: Abure Killer, Dragon Ranger, and Time Fire.
Trench, Tommy, and Eric.
Abure Killer, which is Mikoto in his human form, Dragon Ranger, and Time Fire in their suits.
Because we
So
couldn't get
Mikoto
backwards.
comes back, but the other two don't. All three approve of his valiant actions, thus he was chosen to be endowed with the power of the Gokai Silver, passing on the Sailor and the Ranger keys. So he'll debut in episode 17 and will be a two-parter going into episode 18, obviously. And we'll bring you the footage and the summaries and all that fun stuff.
Exclusively. We'll send our field reporters out. Or our interns.
So we got a lot of neato pictures here. We got one of the Gokai spear in its gun mode, which looks pretty cool. And the spear mode doesn't look really too bad either. Here's a suit picture of gold mode. It's still really strange, but the suit itself doesn't look too bad.
Like, I don't hate it as much as other people. Like, I agree it looks weird, but it kind of reminds me of Zubon.
It does.
But, like, I don't hate it that much. Maybe it's just because I got used to, like, fugly stuff with Decade, but I don't actually mind it. Like, I don't know. It's just me.
The only thing that irks me the most is that, like, there's no order to this at all.
Yeah, they just, I don't know.
They just kind of put things places.
But... Well, the three Dragon Ranger, Time, Fire, and Abakiller, they're on the top because they were together.
Yeah, and they
I don't know.
Died.
They all died. This is the death corner.
All the dead people are up on top.
Oh, poor K-Rangers is an armpit. That's funny. But, like, I like Gokai Silver's, like, regular suit for sure.
Yeah, his regular suit.
And I love
really
his
good.
Helmet when he flips it around all Super Samurai mode, except Super Pirate mode. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. So, then we have a picture of Goju Rex and then Goju Drill. They keep, like, Rio wrote the article like this. I don't know whether it's true or not. But to me, Goju Drill and Goju Rex are the same thing.
Yeah.
They're just different formations. Because the articles keep making it sound like they're two separate mecha.
They're like, they're separate.
They're just two different formations.
Yeah.
Because you can see the drill on Goju Rex's tail, and then it's on the front in Goju Drill. So they're one thing that... It's a triple changer.
Yep. It is Shockwave.
We have... I don't know what this picture is. It's silver to gold mode, and then some weird thing.
There's a picture of his foot. You got a nice shot of his foot. I love the picture of them with the dream. Sorry. He's got a sexy foot. It's really shiny. Makes me kind of hot.
And then you can see a picture of him down at the bottom by his foot here. I don't mind his human dude.
No, he kind of reminds me of Genta with that collar.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Like, I don't mind him so far. I think he's going to be more of a fun character just by looking at him.
Yeah, he seems like he's going to be, like, he'll either just, like, have a total ball with it, or he'll be, like, super serious.
Yeah.
He's like, 'cause I'm a Super Sentai fan. I'll be like, I'm a Sentai, bruh.
Like, I'd like to see him be really funny and, like, fanboyish, but then, like, when he's in battle, he's all like, oh, man, this is really cool. I'm just like Sentai, and then be serious about it. Like, kind of be a mix.
Yeah. Like, honestly, he's the luckiest fuck ever.
I know. I want to be
Gokai
Silver.
He's a Super Sentai fan that gets to turn into a really awesome design that changes into all the other guys with really awesome designs.
Basically. Everyone's favorites, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really looking forward to Gokai Silver. Like, I love the concept of him being a Super Sentai fan.
Yeah.
Like, it just fits so well with the Gokai universe.
Yeah, it works so well in the whole way they've built up the series so far.
Yeah, because it's like, everyone knows about him, so it's logical that they would have fans. So, like, I love that idea, and I love his mecha, and his concept, and his design. I'm really looking forward to him.
It'll be fun. And we don't have to wait too long for him, either. He'll be sometime in June, so.
Good times all around.
Heck yeah.
The Rizzle. The streets. Now, a moment of silence for Kevin's opinions. Okay.
I'm just looking at it again. I like it.
With Gokai Silver?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gokai Silver's going to be awesome.
All right. So, moving along to more Six Ranger-related things.
About Dien's brother.
So, remember last episode we talked about that Basco Tajoro...
Marvelous.
I'm just
going to
call him Basco.
Basco.
That... I want to call him Bosco, but that just makes
Crisco.
Me think of
there we go.
Crisco.
You can hang out with Calzone.
Okay, so he shows up, and he's basically a complete evil douche. But his gimmick is that he can summon six Rangers, so he's kind of like a foil to Silver.
Yeah.
So I have no idea how this is going to work, but it's in the next episode. The Privateer appears, episode 15. He's a member of the Red Pirates, like Marvelous was.
Led by Red.
who arrives on Earth with his pet space monkey, Sari, who... Sorry. Oh god, it's a chick from Animated.
I was like, God, that sounds familiar.
The picture isn't in this post, but I think it was on a G Fusion post, or, yeah, I think it was. It showed the monkey, and it's just this fat thing in a suit. It was really ugly.
It's Bubbles.
I thought it was gonna be like an actual monkey, and I was all
He's a
excited.
monkey.
But
He's a monkey.
he's like, you can use the Ranger keys for this too, and so. Zangak Empire is destroyed. Eventually, Bosco seems to have been behind this. In order to gain something, you have to sacrifice something. So basically, he was with Marvelous and the Red Pilots,
Violence.
the Red Pilots, and apparently he made some sort of deal with the Zangak Empire and like ratted them out, and then that's how the Red Pirates got destroyed. So this guy is a total douche. So. He has a ship called the Free Joker, as opposed to the Expensive Joker. And so they fly around in their ship and stuff. And he has this
Where's
weapon
base?
called the Ricky
Oh, that's
don't know what
hilarious.
it. And the blue version is called Wataru-kun. So he
Wataru-kun.
summons Kiva or something. I don't know.
That's epic.
So he's got this flute. Or the trumpet, rather. There's
Mm-hmm.
this trumpet that has five slots on the top, and
Ranger
it can
keys.
materialize Rangers when he blows into the trumpet.
He blows out
I would
Rangers.
also like to point out that he looks very, very homo.
And I also like to point out that there's a YouTube thing being crossed out on this picture.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. That's like the watermark on all these pictures, and I don't know where that came from. Like, I see toyworld.uk or whatever's logo there, too, and, like, one that looks like a communism flag or something. So, I don't
Better be
really know
dead
what's
than
up with
red,
these
I always say.
watermarks. But, so, like, he's got the six Ranger keys, or at least some sort of embodiment of them, and then he sticks them in there, and then he makes the evil Rangers, and they all fight and stuff. Like, the picture here, it shows, like, two gold keys and two silver keys and a white
One
key.
point, yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that, seeing as how he's supposed to be summoning. Well, Deck of Break would be the white one, but then you have Shurikenger, Dragon Ranger, King Ranger, and Time Fire.
Because the keys look
None of
like
those keys match up at all. One looks like
the one's Magi
Magishine.
Shine.
It's like Magishine, Go on Gold.
Two like tight
Mystic Mother?
spandex random guys. I don't know. Go on Silver and Mega Silver. I
Maybe.
don't
I don't
know. I
know.
don't know.
Obviously, like, that picture can't correspond with the picture up on the top because the keys don't match up. But.
Yeah.
So, he does weird stuff. Gokai
Just.
Silver and Cid will be part of the main cast, so there's a chance that Borzog will. Yes, boss guy. Will
Yes,
turn back into
boss.
a human. And then it just says some stuff about Gokai Silver that we talked about already, so. I hate this guy. I don't like him. He looks
Yeah.
stupid. His trumpet's stupid.
He looks like a gay pirate, so in other words, a butt pirate. So that's going to be his name during the summaries.
Butt
It's
pirate?
butt pirate.
Like,
Damn it, Injun Soul. Sorry.
it's just confusing because he has these six Ranger keys, but then Silver's supposed to get the six Ranger keys from Mikoto, Dragon Ranger, and Time Fire.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how that's gonna
I
work.
see where they're going. It feels like they had two good ideas, which is Gokai Silver and this, and then they're merging them.
Like, we don't know which one to do, so let's do both of them.
These are pretty close together. Like, it would be kind of neat if they did this, and then, his downfall leads to Gokai Silver getting the keys, which
I mean, I
might
guess that's
happen.
a possibility. Like, he could be doing this for episode 15 and 16.
And I don't mind the idea of a reoccurring villain that summons Rangers, but maybe, since Gokai Silver's got everyone else covered, why doesn't he, get, the other, unnamed people, like Bol Black or something, or, those people that KO loves, Guy doing stuff, and,
X1
X1
Mask.
Mask, yeah, just get those random people, and then, Deca Master in those, or maybe only exclusively summon Evil Rangers or something, I don't know.
He can summon like the psychos. And...
It'd be cool if he summoned villains, that'd be awesome,
It
villain
would.
keys? Fuck yes. Tell what you should pay me to write for you. I just thought how awesome that would be.
I don't know.
Hygiene Rido.
We'll see how it goes. Like, I kind of hope like what you said kind of pans out.
That'd be
Like, he
cool.
starts using the sixth, and then the sixth gets taken by Guy and stuff. guy doing stuff.
Guy doing stuff. I was thinking picture Kale sent me. I forgot his name, but he's guy doing
and,
stuff.
And then, like, he moves on to other things, like you said, but we'll see how it goes.
Like, I'd also, if they don't use him, it'd be a cool idea for a Zangak villain later to reveal that when they took over, they just trapped all the other villain groups somehow.
Yeah.
Took their keys. That'd be epic. I'd love that. I love Gokinger. It's got so many cool possibilities, unlike Decade.
I want keys of villains.
That'd be awesome. There's even more keys to get.
Oh, God.
Oh, all right.
So, I believe it's my turn.
Yeah, it is your turn.
Yay! Okay, that was gay. All right, so we've got our weekly O's updates, which they skipped last week, and they're so sorry. In order to apologize, they sent us pictures. So to start, this article, you basically skipped the first bunch because it's up to the episode we've seen, but we got a little description on episode 38. It's not applicable. 612. Dante decides to help Dr. Maki, Edgy, and Goto to avoid... can't avoid or find a way to end the fight against the yummy. Just the one yummy. Goju decides to take on Date's role, aiming for one Miran truce. He'll be able to transform into birth this time? I don't know. Or really bitch out again? I don't know. TVashi Superhero Time will take a break June 19th. Oh, that means movie war shit. Better get on that. Okay, so now we got some stuff for the summer movie, which hopefully isn't shit. Please, God. You made the rapture not happen for that idiot douche who's predicting it again. Please make this happen. Okay, so this is obviously going to be our typical, like, Edo era type deal going on. The first image has with the reptile combo. Okay, so we got the Shogun era guy who's played by Tokugawa Yoshimune. Yeah.
Yoshimune.
Yeah, there we go.
Played by
Ken Matsudara. That's good. Zyra. You know what? These people need to get normal ass names. What is wrong with it? I have a weird name that sounds normal compared to this. It's the guy on the horse. And the horse is dressed up, and he's having a race with the ride vendor, and I think Edgy's going to win. But that picture, I could really give two shits about, because next we get Burakawani shit. So, as O's fight this summer, there'll be a new combo called Burakawani. It'll have, we've already, like, learned about this, but we've got, like, better awesome pictures. It'll have a cobra head, turtle arms, and crocodile legs. His main weapon is the Burangi, a snake charmer flute, which O's blows into the flute and a giant comb appears out of his head. Whoa, you're getting a little naughty there for me. So the first picture scan or whatever shows him blowing into the flute and the cobra rising up, and he's, you know, blowing on it. And then the next one shows him like, I'm ready to fight. And he's doing like one of those like figure arts poses where the legs are really funny spread and people laugh at me. And it's got a nice shot of the three medals, which look pretty damn cool.
I love the cobra one.
Yeah, they do. That look pretty nice. You know, the cobra one is pretty awesome. It reminds me of like strike and stuff. Okay, so these are the abilities. The cobra wraps around his head and blows into the thing. Five attack his enemies, just like I said. So it's pretty faithful to the traditional cobra stereotypes. As expected, the turtle metal will create two giant defensive shields, and the crocodile legs, which enable him to slide on the ground. I don't know what that's about. Like, this, yeah, I can do that if I have socks on a hardwood floor, but whatever. Special attacks called the crocodile glide. And so when he puts the enemy between his legs, an explosion happens.
I'm sorry.
And then as a bonus, Birth character song is revealed after that happens. There's an explosion of pleasure and then Birth character song. The bottom just talks about the character songs and the CD collection. Yeah, that's not really anything of note. But then the picture shows the final attack of the explosion happening between his legs. That's a really naughty looking like attack. Like the one on the bottom right where you're just like, oh, it's time to blow me. Burakawani, like, I didn't care for his head so much at first. Like, I still don't 100% love it. It's grown on me a little bit, and it's helped the fact that I like the idea of him playing the flute and coming off of his head just because it stays so true to, like, traditional Cobra stuff. And, like, it's a unique idea. Like, I'm still not 100% on the helmet, but the rest of the combo looks pretty neat, and the medals are cool. The attack's a little bit dirty for such a church boy like myself who never uses any profanity or anything. So, your thoughts?
The episode, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but as far as like the movie's concerned,
I totally forgot about the episode already.
It was one episode, it's not that important.
I know,
but like, I'm really tired of this Edo era stuff. Like,
yeah.
I know it's Japan and they love their history and stuff, and like the Toku people love to squeeze in Edo era stuff like as much as they can. But like we've added so much, it's kind of getting tiring.
Yeah, I totally
But
agree. It's like a tradition.
outside of that, Burro Kawani looks pretty cool. His legs kind of look like remolded Zo legs to me.
With like giant kneecaps.
Yeah.
I like how they have a picture of each animal here represented, in case you're stupid.
In case you don't know what
Dude for the Turtle Age totally should have had a zombie. A picture of that zombie kid. I like turtles.
I like turtles. The medals look really sweet. The only problem I have right now is it might just be the magazine itself. They might not actually look like that. But like Cobra and Kame look too yellow. It's kind of like how Lion looks like Wani and Lion looked like an orange medal and it was supposed to be a yellow medal
Yeah, you never know where they're going.
and that was all
But the designs are awesome.
kind of weird. But the designs are really cool. I love them. His flute thing's pretty cool. A lot of people are speculating that that's going to be the gift instead of Metal Set SP. So we'll see how that works. That's cool. Like I like you said, I agree that it's cool that he does like traditional flute charmer
It's just
or snake
unique.
charmer stuff with his head. Since that's nothing that the snake guys in the past have done, even I think we only had like what two?
Yeah,
But
one or two.
one or two, I don't remember, but
And then we have Serpent from Ben 10. He doesn't count.
that's cool. And the whole explosion between the legs thing, hilarious wording. This is from Ukiya Seed, so I don't know where he got that from,
I
but
see where they're coming from though, because like it's Crocodile's mouth, like that's what the idea is.
I get that, because if you look at his leg design, you can see sort of like a tooth pattern on the edges.
Yeah.
So
But it just.
I get exactly what they're referring to. It's
But the
just really
idea of someone
weird.
trying to kill someone by acting your legs as a crocodile's mouth just brings some naughty ideas into your head if you've gone through puberty once or twice.
And lastly, I'm very disappointed that we have to wait until July 27th to get Birth Song, and then songs for full versions for Sun Goes Up, Time Judge Doll, and then Shouta and Puto Tira's songs, which are Shout Out for Shouta and then Power to Terror for Puto Tira. So cool. All your favorite songs in one hit collection.
It's an ad right there. We got our radio voices ready. Faux show.
Including such hits as Regret Nothing. Gotta keep it real. Right on, right time.
Okay, that's my movie voice. Remember that commercial?
So, Burr Kiwani gets the Shuki thumbs up.
Yeah, but you get the thumbs up. You don't steal my seal of approval. I will cut you. Heart. I'll cut you with a heart shape just to show like the love for buying me stuff
You're
and
welcome.
not insulting me like some other people. You know I'm talking about my dad. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. All right, more Kamen Rider news. So this can be really short. We've got official confirmation that the name for next year's rider has been registered as 40. I mean, Fozay. So yeah, it's real. Faux show, like KO said. This news story brought to you by Mr. Yellow. Yeah, I was pretty sure that it was gonna end up just being the name. I just hope it doesn't mean 40 forms
Oh
to the
God,
second
if,
power.
I'm just hoping that like it's some sort of play on words with it being like the 40th anniversary and stuff.
Yeah.
Like if it actually has 40 forms, I'm probably just gonna walk away,
Just walk away.
like burp and walk away, because I'm tired of this goddamn form stuff. Like I'm just.
Yeah, it's getting old. Like they need to like alternate it, like the way Sentai alternates like color patterns and teams with like three and five and stuff. And like they need to alternate instead of constantly doing this like ultimate sales pitch for all these forms. It's getting ridiculous. Like even though it would still cost money, I wouldn't even mind having a series with a lot of riders just because it'd be different. And it would make me
Like
buy.
I want to go back to like something like Kiva,
Yeah.
with one rider with like four different forms, and then like an ultimate form, and then like a side rider with two forms, and like one more maybe. Just something simple,
Yeah, like a
please.
Kiva or a Blade or something.
Yeah.
Like, or just, yeah. I want something simple too. Because it's definitely getting old. But we'll find out more. I'm hoping they abandon the eggs too.
Yeah. I don't like that idea at all.
All right, so guess what time it is? cheat codes. In space. In space.
Kamen Rider O's in space.
In space. Oh, God. He gets space, like, Martian form. It's like a Crimson Metals.
Okay, so, once again, bear with me, because I wasn't planning on having to do this, and have absolutely nothing written up. So I'm just kind of winging it here. We have Gokaija Episode 14. So, the crew's all hanging out in the ship. Joe's doing his weird positions like he normally does. He's
1,000.
Like that, really. Honestly. So, Navi has a dream where she turns into, like, Bear V or something.
Yeah, total Gohan drive.
And so when she wakes up, she's like, oh, pay attention to traffic laws or something. So they're like, oh, whatever, and then Ahim pulls a Kevin. that oily guy is talking about the last action commander about something.
Kevin.
Doing that. That's what he was doing.
Totally just got it.
And so apparently Red Racer, like, yelled at the last action commander about paying attention to traffic laws, and they didn't know who this guy was, and they're like, I don't give a shit. Bruh. And he's like, yes, boss.
Yes, boss. Bus? Yes,
and
boss.
So the green chick, I'm just going to call her Cabbage.
Cabbage bitch. Yes, that's her new name.
She loves yes, Red bro. Racer. She's like, he is McDreamy.
I love that.
Cabbage bitch. And so we have, let's go, Kaija. Okay. So she's all like, oh, Red Racer, I love you. And then this jester guy comes in. What's his name?
Oh, God.
Zelusto.
Totally reminds me. Zelusto. I kept thinking of a Zelust.
I'm just going to call him Hooker.
He totally reminds me of Professor Crocker, or whatever it was from GX.
So they have a flashback, like, Hooker was in love with Cabbage Bitch.
He's in a schoolgirl outfit?
It's really
didn't know Zangek went to prep school.
So we cut to Red Racer trying to teach kids about safety laws with a slideshow, and he's like, you know what, damn it, this don't work. Kids don't like slideshows, they need something flashy. And so Hooker appears and, like, I think that's Red Racer, so let's fight him. And then Cabbage Bitch is just spying on him, because he's like, oh, Red Racer's hot. So meanwhile, the Gokaijers cross the street, and Marvelous, like, has both his hands in the air. He's like, oh, I'm innocent. And they're like, no, you only have to raise one hand when you cross the street. I'm like, why do you have to raise any hands while crossing the street? It's what the goddamn crosswalk is for. So they're yelling at people that don't obey the traffic laws.
That's pretty funny.
So that's fun. They're like, oh, these bikes parked illegally, blue. And so they fight the Gorman that appear. And they go, they do all of their weapons and stuff. Red Racer's just watching and running around doing his racing shit.
Thinking he's cooler than TJ when he's not.
And so Hooker gets, like, pwned because nobody loves him. So they save Red Racer, and Red Racer's like, you guys are awesome, and he gives him, like, a cappuccino or something. I think that's what it is. He's like, oh, it's Red Racer. And then it shows Red Racer, and then he, like, punches himself out of the way or something. He's like, the Car Ranger are lost, but I like to protect safety laws and stuff.
The other four got lives.
The other four got lives, I didn't. I'm clinging on to my traffic law way.
I'm homeless.
And so he's like, you can have the Car Ranger's true power if you help me be awesome and teach children about safety. This is going nowhere, folks.
So it's just like Brian's dad when he thinks he's going to work. It's going nowhere.
Cabbage Bitch is dancing around, and Hooker's like, oh, she was just using me to meet him. Bah. Bah. And so they run away from Red Racer, but Red Racer is like, vroom, except he's not as fast as TJ, because TJ's the fastest thing alive.
TJ is the shiest.
TJ's faster than Sonic.
TJ's faster than everyone.
And so Red Racer finds Doc because he's slow and confused.
He's Doc Green, not Doc Brown.
So Hooker catches up with them, and then they all meet up, and then there's Cabbage Bitch comes down. She all dances with Red Racer, all trying to dance, except Hooker's trying to attack her because he's pissed. But she's like, I'll protect Red Racer, and I don't really honestly know what the shit is going on.
Neither do I. I'm pretty sure that someone slipped me shrooms again.
This was really dumb, and so they're like, What do we do?
I assume they would change after they said go Geiger.
I guess we fight. So they fight Hooker, and Hooker gets pwned again, and they're like, oh, we'll pay tribute to this guy, and they're like... And they're like, no, that's the wrong one. I think he's mad. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they... That's like, correct answer in the background. They do their roll call with the whole Turbo Rangers, or the Car Rangers. I did it too.
I do it all the time.
So they fight and do all their racing thing. Marvelous has the Red Turbo Sword, or that thing was called. I don't know.
Red Lightning Turbo Sword? I don't know.
And so Red Racer's all nostalgic. And so Cabbage Bitch and Red Racer have this, like, very, very grotesque scene that is too inappropriate for a child's eyes.
And she tries to rape him, folks.
So he runs away. Oily doesn't know what the hell is going on, but he decides to make Hooker grow.
He fires the torpedoes.
Yeah. And so Red Racer's like, listen, giant Hooker. Love isn't about yelling. It's about getting on your knee and saying, I love you.
That was a great voice for him. You should still voice him in the American adaptation.
So Red Racer's like, I love you. Now you do it. And so he's like, okay, I love you. And then Cabbage Witch is like, you're right. I love you. And so this goes on for like 2 minutes. They're just going, I love you, and I love you, and I love you. Back and forth. It's really annoying.
Cut back to me watching the episode swallowing pills.
So eventually they cut their shit, and then they combine the Gokaigers, and they do their thing. So they're all like, yay, Gokaigers, and they shoot the cannons, and
racing
like, okay, and then they Shinken Gokaio, they attack him with the Rekidaisanto. And he's still not dead. So then they use the Car Rangers, and they just do a little spinny, like, Gokai Racing Slash, I think it's called.
Yeah, they just, like, spin around and do, like... It was like the Turbo Megazord, pretty much.
That was before the Rekidaisanto, though. Never mind.
Yeah, that was. Because they pwned him with Shinken... Well, Shinken Mo. Shinken Mo!
He dead, fuck you.
Yeah.
Actually, he crashes into the oily ship.
Yeah.
He's all like, I love you!
She's like,
I don't know. And so now we have the Gokaigers in their morphed. I think that's the right term for it. I don't know. So they're all morphed, and they're trying to do this play that Red Racer wrote about traffic safety, and they're acting like the Samurai Rangers. And nothing of importance really happens here, and the kids are like, this is stupid.
That's what I've been thinking.
And so now they all do the Car Ranger roll call pose. And apparently kids love that for some reason. And it's really a stupid roll call, but it's like pelvic thrusts and stuff.
Yeah, it
but
was...
anyway, then it ends.
So, and then it ends.
Burp. There we go. So the ending has, like, a bunch of scenes out of the 199 Heroes movie.
Which is pretty cool.
So that's always a fun time. Take a look at that. It was honestly the best part of the episode.
Pretty much.
So I honestly didn't really enjoy this episode in the slightest. If you're a Car Ranger fan for some weird reason, you probably loved the shit out of it.
Yeah, you probably made love to it.
I don't like Car Rangers humor. I don't like this kind of humor in the slightest. Like, I don't mind wacky stuff now and then, because I've enjoyed all the other Gokai episodes that were, like, mostly humorous stuff.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed those, so... There wasn't really anything wrong with that, but it was just there was absolutely nothing in terms of a plot to this besides I love you.
Oh God.
And Red Racer,
Red Ranger. Mike's. I keep hearing Mike saying Red Racer.
Like, I don't even like Red Racer, but
yeah, neither do I. Just because I love TJ so much. Like. That whole scene where they messed up with the turbo keys, with my exact thinking is that's always turbo for me. Like, I don't think I'll ever really watch Car Ranger because it'll always be Power Rangers Turbo for me.
Yeah, like, I just don't want to watch Car Ranger just because I know I won't like it.
Yeah, because I usually don't like really silly stuff that doesn't have anything serious about it. I don't know. But, like, pretty much what you said, like, I really didn't enjoy it all that much. There were some funny parts. like when Marvelous was raising his hands, or when Red Racer tried to use Dot Green as a shield, and when they were just sitting there like discussing when Cabbage Bitch was around.
Yeah.
But I think that the episode would have gone over a little better if it weren't for two parts being in there. One, any part where she was like gushing over Red Racer and they had the opera music, and the I Love You part made me want to kill myself. I felt like I was watching Ghost Ager at that point.
I honestly enjoyed most of Ghost Ager more than this.
Honestly, but Ghost Ager didn't have a scene. Yeah, like it was like, but it was like that level of like me not enjoying an episode. It was like early Ghost Ager for me when I was not enjoying. Like at that part, I just felt it was ridiculous, and it pisses me the fuck off that this little Car Ranger, this like derp we make fun of ourselves, got their little doot doot horn music.
Yeah, they got their goddamn theme song and the fighting and everything. Like they didn't have like a Car Ranger morph, I don't think, but they had the cool background of theirs. Like, Geki got crap. Like, it's honestly, it makes me angry, because Geki is awesome.
I know. Kaio says this because Toei doesn't like him because they're not popular, but still. In silence.
I call shenanigans. Like,
shenanigans, like, brand it.
I want to discuss this more, but there really wasn't anything to discuss because I hated it.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. It was definitely my least favorite so far. Like, I even enjoyed the random episodes.
There was nothing in this to actually spark a discussion of where they could go from here, besides up, because it can't get any worse than this.
Yeah. The only thing really I have to say is, like I said just 5 seconds ago, it pisses me off that Transformer just fell over, and that Geki didn't get as good of a tribute, because Geki is the shit. Like, I'm sure they made it feel like Car Rangers tribute, but I don't care. I don't know.
I didn't really like it.
Fuck, I don't know. Okay, so we're ready to O's it up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... okay, get it? Okay. All right, so here we go.
Oh.
So the fan is blowing my notes. Okay, so We open at a fashion show that apparently Hina is competing in. They're all watching. Ankh's like, God, this is asinine. I'm like, who uses words like asinine? And Edgy, like, stresses stuff in his, like, grunge gay clothing. And then this one guy takes note. And whatever. So and then Hina ends up winning. She gets a trophy, and then second place chick gets second place. So she's supposed to be important. And then Hina's like, thanks, lols. And then everyone congratulates her. Even Ankh, but it cuts to the blue universe of Fringe, and he says thanks. So and then they're like, did you say thanks? He's like, shut up. So then we cut to a scene with dad of second place chick being a complete asshat, and he tells her that she has to quit school because she didn't win the fashion show, which doesn't make any sense at all, because I figured school would be a backup plan, but whatevs. So she throws the trophy away in anger. So then we cut away to just minding his business at some kind of generic stadium when Calzone attacks him, and he's like, let me introduce you to my BFF, Unclet. And then they, like, fight him, and then they take the Red Corps medal that Uva had that I totally forgot he had. And then he uses Thunderbolt, and he scurries off, and he longs for Mizzou and Gammel. And then we get... Okay, so, after that, we have to find our place again, because I lost it. Okay, so back at the restaurant, everyone is dressing in Hina's ugly clothes, and Ankh is having a dramatic flashback of what happened 24 hours ago. And then Hina asks him about her brother's memories.
She's like a space woman.
We're in space. the fashion dude comes in and offers Hina a job to work with smelly Frenchmen, but she says she has to think about it because she has to look after Shingle's body. Then we cut to Dr. Maki, who makes a yummy out of the trophy that was discarded because they ran out of money to pay for actors, so they're just doing inanimate objects now. So the trophy turns into a unicorn yummy, which is thing is to destroy people's dreams. So it starts off by attacking a runner and destroys his dreams of running, and then it attacks a group of singers called the D-Bags. When they're being attacked, Date and Broto show up, and then they fight the yummy. Edgy and Ankh follow. He goes Tautoba. Ankh wants Edgy to change, so he tosses him Taco, and Uva, like, uses super accelerate speed and, like, takes it and starts fighting O's. So he takes Gorilla Metal instead and goes Takagori Ba. So Birth is fighting the Unicorn and Ankh... Unicorn and Ankh is fighting the trash yummies that Uva spawned, who I called the Trashies. And then Dante's Intersect starts spazzing out, so he falls over and knocks Edgy over, and he's like, dude, what the hell, man? And Uva just runs like a little coward. And then Edgy, like, pwns the trashies with his, like, sock and boppers. More fun than a pillow fight.
Up and put your hands inside, get ready to hire the time of your life. Okay.
Exactly. Okay, so everyone checks on Dante, and the D-bags abandon their guitars. And then back at the lair of Silk, Calzone wonders about Uva's intentions. And back at Uva's lair of warehouses, Uva wonders how he's going to get metal sets because he can't find any. And I'm like, dude, Metal Set 3 is talking on Miami, go. So then he decides to go after O's because he didn't listen to me. And then back at Kogami headquarters, Kogami gives Dante a head of brain scan. He says, hey, you got this bullet in your head. And he's like, oh yeah, that's from the Great Irish Wars. Oh, except I don't think Dante knew about it. Or maybe he did, I don't remember. But anyway, and then he's like, am I like fired now? And Kogami's like, of course not, I'm wearing a pink suit. And then we cut to Hina destroying kids' baseballs, and Edgy shows up, and they talk about dreams, and she asks Edgy what his was, and he says it was to be a singing astronaut who plays soccer. So, and then Edgy offers to watch Shingles' body while Hina goes off to France, and second place chick shows up and says she'll go if Hina's going to be an ungrateful little hoe. And then the unicorn shows up and starts attacking them. Ankh shows up a little late and gives Edgy Psy Condor Zoe. And then Uva shows up as well, and everyone's just showing up. Because then Dante and Broto show up. They fight the unicorn while Edgy takes Uva by going white Blaster Beetleborg, white Blaster Beetleborg. I don't know why I said that twice. Uva summons the trash yummies, and White Blaster Beetleborg's eyes suddenly go purple because he's an anodite. And then he goes into the ground and grabs the Metal Jellyver and kills all the trashies and shows exactly what you should, exact reasons you should buy the Metal Jellyver. And then Dante once again forgot his governor. What did I say? Metal Jellyver?
Yeah.
Just like edited it or something. I don't know. Metal Gallyver. Metagabariu and Solomon Robot. Anyway. Sorry. So Dante, once again, he forgot his governor, so his Intersect fritzes out again, and he falls over. And then Edgy rolls in his Taftaba after we just saw him as Sagozo, but whatever. And then Hina is trying to protect second place. She's like, no, you won't get her. And then Unicorn Yummy's like, K, and he just takes her dreams instead. And Ankh uncharacteristically protects her, and Calzone jumps in to protect O's from Uva. I think he's just looking to have some lulls. And then metals go flying during their battle, and they all go for one. Uva gets Chach, and Ankh grabs Unagi. And then when Ankh tries to go back to Shingles, Shingles wakes up, and they're like, oh my god, it's Shingles! And then it ends. So you start with your thoughts.
It was an interesting episode. The fashion show was terrible. The unicorn yummy is a fruit. And... like, it's just kind of setting more things in motion with Uva talking about Mizzou and Gamble and, like, I want to revive you because I love you. I love you. And
oh, God. Please don't remind me that.
So, it was an alright episode. It wasn't the best by any means, but it was still entertaining.
Yeah, think,
like, Hina getting her dream crush was kind of sad.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of funny, though, how, like, it seemed like a generic plot where, like, that monster was only after that one chick and she thought she was protecting her, and then he just took whatever he could get. So he took her, and I thought that was pretty funny. I thought it was funny how she got hurt and stuff. No, I'm kidding. It was, like, pretty much what you said. It was kind of like a generic O's episode up until the very end where it got, like, good with Shingles waking up and stuff, where, like, I was intrigued to watch more. Like, the whole idea of them making yummies out of inanimate objects is interesting.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's a budget-cutting thing, but whatever. Oh, we can't hire anybody? What about this trophy? You could totally play the role of a guy named Dave. All right. Yeah. Like, it was interesting. It was cool to see that Oz's other combos can wield the Metagabariu. But that was a cool part. I still hate the fact they're ignoring that Edgy could just go nuts at any time and kill everyone.
Yeah, that's still a bother.
With the whole setup with Date, I'm kind of hoping that instead of Date dying, that he just has to step down for health reasons and Gotō takes over, but Date remains alive for the rest of the series.
Yeah, I hope so too. Like, that's what it feels like it's gonna happen, besides the rumors still floating around, but. Like, I want Date to live.
Yeah, because it'd be nice for him to, like, you know, watch him go birth for the first time and give a seal of approval. And just because I like his character so much, and I'd like to see his humor be around. Like, I'd like to see him assist it, kind of like Zonky.
Yeah, it would be a lot like that, except it took a longer for it to happen.
Yeah, pretty much, but...
But the Date-Goto dynamic is...
dynamic!
It's interesting, and it's one of the better parts about the show, I think, because I think... Honestly, I feel like they're two of the better characters as opposed to Edgy and stuff.
Yeah, honestly, Date is my favorite character, or my favorite writer for sure, and they're more enjoyable than Edgy. I really don't care for Edgy all that much.
Like, I hated Goto at first, but he grew quite a bit, so now he's not a total douche hat that blows up Edgy with bazookas.
But... Yeah, that was stupid.
But I hope. Like, there's a rumor... going around that he's still gonna die and stuff, but
yeah, I hope he doesn't.
I don't want him to. I want Date to live forever.
I want Date to be my manservant. I don't know. I had a joke there, and then I said that, and now I just creeped our audience out.
If there's a god, he's Date.
Honestly, he was like, "LOL, no, Harold Camping, you're a douchebag. Check out my abs."
So I enjoyed it. It wasn't the best, but it was a good time.
Yeah, it was a standard good. I think they're always enjoyable. Like, I'm hoping next week will be better. And with shingles and stuff and how that plays out.
Yeah, that's probably, like, the best thing that happened about this episode is, like, Ankh's sitting there going, well, crap. Shingles is awake. What do I do? He's just floating around going, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit.
Yeah. Like, personally, what I think / hope will happen is that Shingles wakes up and doesn't, like, lapse. And then Ankh just takes his body form like the other greeds.
Yeah.
Because you can't have Ankh just be recast by another Todd or something. I mean,
you can't have Ankh become Ankhlet.
I know. God, that would suck. Ankhlet's just running around, doing stuff.
I don't like Ankhlet.
Neither do I. Okay, so now it's time for...
Samurai Summaries with Shuki.
I did jazz hands, but you couldn't see him.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anytime.
Thank you for the attempt. Alright, so we open to Emily being a confused ditz like she normally is.
Lols.
Meanwhile, the other four are decorating a random room in the house for her surprise birthday party.
Yay! Happy birthday, Emery! Operation Emily!
So, they force Mia. They're like, Mia's like, I'll bake a cake for them, and they're like, no!
Then they clock
no,
her.
No, and Antonio is buying a cake from the bakery. She's like, oh... And so Octaru is worried about Xandrid because Xandrid is angry at his own medicine. He's like, "Burr!" and he breaks it. And Xandrid's basically flipping the fuck out. I don't know why.
Plan Xandrid is not going well.
Antonio apparently thinks that a fish makes an appropriate birthday present. So he's sitting there fishing. He's like, "Damn it, they aren't biting." Va.
And then va.
He starts. Va. He's a vampire. He starts talking to Clawzord, and Clawzord's like, "Boo, boo." Whatever noises he makes, I don't know what it is. I don't do closet noises. So, we have there's a theme song somewhere around here. I didn't mark where it was, so.
Google Pop Rangers!
Google Pop Rangers! Do-do-do-do-do-do! Samurai forever! Back at the Sands River, we're introduced to the monster of the day. I don't know what his name is.
I kind of forgot what he looked like.
He has a bunch of balls.
Oh, yeah! He's the guy that looked like that villain from Digimon Frontier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, guy. A mirror guy turned into a bunch of balls.
Meanwhile, Decker walks down the path of life and passes
with
Antonio.
His penis, Urmas.
And he's like, he looks at Urmas, he's like, I know what that is. He's like, my penis? He's like, no, it's a fishing pole, silly. He's like, oh, yeah, right. And so he tries to push his baby barracuda recipe on him. And he's like, do you want to challenge your taste buds? And he's like, no, fuck you, and leaves. In lowercase letters, by the way.
Yeah. Fuck you. Go fuck yourself.
So the Nihilok hops around and starts stealing souls. And then they battle. And then Emily gets her spirit eaten because she sucks. And then everyone else will die in a day if he isn't defeated. And they're like, oh, fuck. So...
I'm sorry.
We see everyone at the hospital, which is kind of neat considering we don't usually see like hospitals. Like all these people get injured and we never see what happens to them.
Yeah.
So they're all discussing things and they're like, oh, how do we save them? And they're like, I don't know, we have to fight them. And then so Antonio's just kind of sitting by his lonesome using the live symbol power on the clausor. He's like, live, damn it, live. And so Emily wakes up. She's like,
text live to 43657.
Emily's like, I accept the fact that I'm going to die, so just let me be. And then Mike's like, damn it. And he runs off. And he starts beating the crap out of a pillar because apparently that's going to help. So
that helps me.
They all gather, and then Decker appears. He's like, I was going to fight you, but you look busy, so I'm just going to mind my own business. And Jay's like, no, you.
And he walks away.
Decker explains that if they give up their humanity and become a Nihloc, that they can go through the gap and they could kill the thingy and then the other Nihloc and save everyone. And Decker's like, yeah, you can do it. I'm living proof, but I don't remember how it happened because I don't remember anything.
Because the writers are still figuring out that story.
The writers didn't figure that out yet. So they consider doing it, but Antonio stops them. He's like, dude, I have a plan. We just do this shit with the Clawzord. So they set the Clawzord on the ground. And then they're like, live! And so, for some reason, instead of writing it, like, Shinkendra did this too. Instead of writing it, they attach a disc to the Shingen Maru's and, like, swing at it.
It's more dramatic.
So they're like, oh, I hate you, Clawzord.
Pull, Clawzord.
And so the Clawzord just keeps growing, and then eventually, like, he's at his max girth. And
oh, God.
And the just Nihloc's, like Azumarill. The Nihloc's boob glows. He's all like, oh, fuck, and he, like, goes, he goes through the gap, and then Clawzord's like, LOL, a toy, and smacks him. And he's like, oh, what happened? And so Antonio explains that, like, he marked the Nihloc with the live symbol, one of his balls, when he was bouncing around. He marked it, and apparently that acts as a magnet, so when the Clawzord was complete, it was, like, pulled him out of the gap or something. So I don't really know what, I didn't understand in Shinkendra either, but. That's what they say.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me in either version. I was like, wait, what?
And so they morph, not using their symbols. They just kind of slash in the air. Antonio does too, even though he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And they all morph.
It's kind of like in a few of the Dino Thunder ones where Trent says Dino Thunder power up and just does their morph.
And then, like, apparently the mark, like, restricts him from turning into balls. So now he's just a big mass. And so they use their weapons to defeat him because he pretty much has no other attacks. So he grows big, and then without Emily, they can't make a Samurai Megazord. So Antonio goes Mega and enters the Clawzord. So Clawzord's just kind of crawling around, beating the crap out of everything with his giant claws. And so the Nihloc's like, well, crap. He summons Moogers to attack, and so Antonio transforms the Clawzord into the Claw Battlezord, East Mode. And so he's all bashing things with his claws again, except now as a giant robot. And he's like, go west, young lobster! And he turns into west mode, which is using his tail as a fan. He's like,
not to be confused with west mode. He turns into red time force.
And so, like, the Moogers die, and then Jane apparently thinks he needs help. So he's like, okay, let's do this. And then, like, they go mega mode, and they're like, dragon folding zord and stuff, even though they summon the tiger, the beetle, and the swordfish, but
whatever
works. And so they form the battle wing, they attack some Moogers, and then they fly away, never to be seen again.
Unfortunately, it's not true.
The Claw Battlezord goes south mode, which is blue, and he's got the swords made out
in
of
a southern
his
accent
head, and he's
all, I reckon you guys are about to go down,
like, hey y'all, and he's like slashing. So then he returns to east mode, and then he uses the claw pincher slash to destroy him. And so he's all dead face, and the spirits return, and everyone rises from the grave. It literally reminds me of zombies. They're just like, and then all of a sudden they're back to life. And so back at the Shiba house, everyone surprises Emily with her party and a giant styrofoam cake that says "Happy Birthday, Emily!" And
it was made by Team Bartowski.
apparently, it's a Clawzord's birthday too, even though he's been alive for quite a while.
But they forgot they changed that part of the story.
And then it ends.
And it ends, and then don't forget, Emily's like, did you bake this? She's like, no. And they're like, oh, good, we can eat it then.
It was an all right adaption. In fact, I think it was actually a fairly decent adaption for the most part, in terms of the small things they changed. Like, instead of Genta thinking Juzo was a, like, a taste tester or something.
Yeah.
He thought he was a fellow fisherman. So, like, that was good. Like, the thing that irked me the most was probably the fact that they kept North, South, East, and West for the Claw Battlezord names.
Yeah, that bugs me.
Like, it makes sense for Japan, because Japan has this whole North, South, East, and West mythology going on. With the respective colors and elements and stuff. So, like, they have that going on, but it doesn't work here, and it doesn't really make any sort of sense. I mean, they could have changed it to green mode, red mode,
or I would have liked, like, sword mode.
Sword mode, fan
shield
mode.
Mode. Like, attack mode, defense mode, claw mode.
Defense mode.
Defense mode, lol, it's Yu-Gi-Oh!
But, like, it didn't make sense to me why they kept something like that. But they're keeping pretty much everything, so... and then the whole thing with Clawzord's birthday, like, it's not really his birthday, dude. He just woke
up. Like, that's, like, a perfect example is what I said before, is that Samurai doesn't know what... Right leg doesn't know what the left leg's doing, is that they changed it to something I like, with them actually having the Clawzord being part of the ancient Zords that got revived, and then they totally forgot they did that at the end and made it his birthday, like Shinkenger.
Yeah.
So... That bothers me, that they don't, like, check with their own selves.
Dude.
You can continue.
So, like, another thing that kind of was weird is that, like, the wheel that he spins to change the modes, like, it started off as heads, like the disc, and then he spins it, and it goes really fast, and then it changes to kanji magically. Like, I don't remember what Daikai's wheel did. But that was just really weird. Like, it was a pretty, like, face design, and all of a sudden it's, like, these flat kanji, like, cardboard pieces. And
yeah.
Like, I don't really know what's going on there, but...
They did magic with Casey and Lester. Well, that is a name, but... So.
But, like, the thing that I'm most excited about is, like, Decker's backstory, because we know it's different.
Yeah, because they can't keep it.
He doesn't know how he became a Nylock and anything about his past, but Dayu apparently does, so...
Dave's Prince
of
Shayla.
We got that whole thing going on because him killing his entire lineage and her, like, setting fire to her boyfriend or
fiance
something.
And making it her violin thing.
Just, that doesn't flow, so.
Yeah, that even for Nick, that's a little, I mean, they can poke fun at child labor, dying people, gallons of blood, clowns falling on the ground and dying, and Victoria's and iCarly, but I think that is a little too much.
Just a little.
Just a little. Just a smidge. My turn?
Yeah, go ahead. I don't really have too much else to say until our final thought things, so...
Yeah. Basically, like, pretty much what he said is it was an alright episode. I definitely enjoyed it more than last week, because I really didn't like last week's. But it was okay. It entertained me. It wasn't as good for me as, like, the Gold Ranger, like, introduction and the one after that. But they were okay. There was parts I enjoyed... Like I said, I love the fact that he got a new origin for the Clawzord. It bugged me that same thing with East-West. I wish they would have changed it. And I kind of wish they would come up with a name, like, even if it's Claw Megazord. Like, I hate that, like, battle mode or what, battle Zord or whatever. Because it bugs me when it doesn't have the name Megazord in it. I don't know why. Like, maybe call it, I don't know, Crustacean Megazord or Mr. Krabs Megazord or something. I don't know.
Mr. Krabs
Megazord. Krabby Patty Megazord. And here's how the episode should have gone. When the Nylock got sucked out of the void, the null void, because of the escape, then right when it landed in Clawzord's claws, he should have just crushed him. Like, why? They're just sitting there, like, the Rangers are like that guy from the episode of Chuck. Aha, what we did was quite clever. And then they get shot. You see what happens? They could have just been like, and just crushed him, and then the episode would have been done. Instead, they went all elaborate on our ass. Like, I know that's like what Power Rangers does, but it bugs me that they never do that. It'd be so funny to see that.
Clawzord wasn't smart enough. He's a newborn. And he doesn't know what he's doing.
He's a newborn that's been around for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Nothing else really to comment on. We talked about this, but Chiaki was like the same thing, but Mike's reaction sort of fell out of place. Like, I understand that, like, they did have like that one episode where they bonded, but it still felt really out of place that Mike would like get so mad, like madder than everyone else.
Yeah.
And just start slashing. Like, the acting was okay. It was just... It seemed kind
of... And I've come to the conclusion that all of this cast act better when they're angry.
Pretty much.
Like, when Mia got angry at Mike for being angry... Like...
Everyone was just angry.
She actually delivered a line that was believable. Whereas when it's a normal tone, she was like, yeah, I'm cool too.
That's why Kevin's best performance was when he was under a mask and when he was evil. Yeah, it really does, because, I don't know, maybe they get to be more natural when they're like that?
Maybe.
I don't know, but I am too excited for Decker's backstory. I totally hope they do the Cole thing, where he's Cole Pfeiffer. No, you know what I mean. Like, if they do that, I would, like, love them forever, except not. Love them for a little bit. But, yeah. Overall, it was an okay episode.
Yeah, it was. I didn't have really too many problems with it besides the weird adaption choices.
Yeah.
But, like, as far as the episode content itself, I didn't really mind anything about it. I enjoyed it for the most part.
Yeah. Step up from last week.
Yeah, just minor nitpicks here or there.
The whole soul thing coming out of their mouths totally reminded me of that Doctor Who episode I just watched where the TARDIS energy was coming out of him. I just had to make that comment. It's okay. I'll be like, lol, you referenced Doctor Who. Totally expect a message from you right now, Kale, when you hear this.
They barfed.
They barfed.
Energy.
Energy! A Russian guy in a tank suit. Radioactive powers.
He's Gardramon. Okay.
Gardramon.
That's what energy reminds you of. Gardramon.
Ultimate Gardramon.
Ultimate Gardramon.
I also like how in Cross Wars, they're all running from those darts, and then Taiki sends out even more Digimon into danger. What was up with that? Here, everyone else, come out and be scared with us. I don't know what that was about.
I don't know either. I don't get it.
Okay, so is that it? Anything else?
Yeah, I normally try to mention the ratings, but I don't think I know what the ratings were for this episode.
If I'm correct, I think Dark Blaze posted something like they were slightly down, and it confused them. But they're still doing good, like, honestly.
Yeah, they're not doing bad. Everyone should calm down.
Yeah, like, they're doing really good, and, like, pretty much all we have to say is what we always say is they really need to learn how much they can get away with.
Yeah.
Like I just mentioned, there was a Victorious episode where they referenced a play in which a clown falls down and goes splat. And the blood. They show blood on Victorious. They can do a little more on Power Rangers.
And just seems nude finish.
Nude finish? Alright, hold on. Just kidding.
You can finish, but
I was done.
Okay. The next two episodes are the episodes adapted from where they get Super Shinkenger mode. So we have no idea what's going to happen. Mostly because, like, the little spoiler things that come out don't mention anything about a new power at all. So we'll see what happens. Like, I mean, there's no toy lineups for the Super Shinkengers at all. Considering we're just now getting the normal modes in the fall line. So we don't. I don't think they can skip it because it costs too much money.
Yeah.
They have to refilm a ton because they spam the crap out of that thing. But
they just get like the mega modes in a robe and it's like too tight. That'd be funny.
We'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to potential originality, but I'm not holding my breath. So.
Like, I hope. I mean, with the ratings, like, I'm glad Samurai is getting more popular because I hope by the time, like, season two rolls around, or maybe, like, right, more like Ghost Ager, the, like, Bandai's distribution of toys gets more like it used to be, where it's semi-lined up with the show. So you're not like, oh, look, it's the Gold Ranger. I can't wait to get his toy in, like, 4 months. Because before, yeah, like, you get the Sixth Ranger with the first wave. Anyway.
Team Spirit managed 3.151 million viewers.
Should be so, watching. Chuck, what are you doing?
It is down a little bit.
Yeah, it was slightly down. But that happens with everything. But just because people thought the world was ending.
Yeah.
I mean, give him a break. That guy was convincing.
Rapture.
God, yeah. That guy's such an old douche. Okay.
Sir, now it's time for Retrospective Ranger Rambles. We're in space.
Yes! We're in space. Time for us in space. Okay. So, bear with me here. This is going to be, I don't know if it's going to be longer, but it's going to be more involved because a lot of stuff happened, and there were certain parts that I had to just, like, glaze over because there's, I don't want to go too much detail on the stuff we'd cover in the discussion. So now I'll shut up. Okay. So we open with a thing that says 3,000 years in the future, or in the year 3,000, every criminal is kidnapped. Every criminal is well, they're in jail, except one, except it's a lie, because I'm pretty sure that's a lie, except Rancic. So we cut to Rancic just stirring shit up, and the Red Ranger enters, and he's like, Red Ranger, and he's like, stop in the name of love. And so they fight, and the Red Ranger, who's Alex, apprehends him, and then he gets arrested by a bunch of Time Force officers. One of them, who is strangely enough one of the guys who stole the passport from the lady at the beginning of Lost Galaxy. So anyway, they apprehend him and take him back to the courthouse. And while he's waiting his verdict, Jen and Alex are out on the balcony and they get engaged because they're totes in love. And then Rancic's verdict comes in and he's sentenced to cryo freeze. And then he's going to be transported by Jen, Katie, Tripp, and Lucas, and not the guy that was confident enough to catch him, but whatever. So they're running along in their motorhome. And they stop because there's a chick on the road. It turns out to be Nadira. And then they get ambushed, and Rancic escapes. And then they contact their commander, and he's a total D-bag and fires them and gives them no transport, so they're forced to walk back. And then Rancic goes to the cryo prison and confronts Alex on the roof, and they have a fight. The other four show up just in time to see Alex allegedly get killed. And then Rancic runs off with his little time travel device and transports somewhere in time with the ship. And Alex gives Jen the morpher and says that she needs to hunt him down. So they head for the time ship and ignore the captain's orders and follow Rancic. Rancic arrives in the year 2001 and scares the shit out of a guard. The Rangers arrive soon after and crash land. Lies, they could easily get back. Anyway, so then they put on the morphers and they go out and look like they're just entered the Matrix. And Jen runs into Wes and he's like, lol, sorry. And then they run into some Cyclobots and they fight him. And Jen gets cornered and Wes saves her with his super motorcycle action. And they're like, oh my god, it's Alex, but not really. And then they part ways. And upon encountering Rancic and company again, they try to morph and realize the morphers are locked. So they realize that Wes would be a good candidate to unlock them. Jen asks Wes for help. He has a hard time believing her, despite the way the PR universe works. But in the end, he shows up to help them, and they go Time Force. And they fight Rancic and company and pwn them, including the farting Gluto. And then Jen takes Wes's morpher, saying that they only needed him to unlock, and he's just playing around. So then later, Wes tries to stop a robbery by mutants, and Jen tells him to, you know, stay out because he's just playing around. And Tripp fills in Wes on Alex and Jen. And then later, Jen and Wes talk, and she decides to give him a chance to prove himself, and he does. And he gets the morpher back and officially joins the team. And I guess to show his gratitude, he gets them a fancy clock tower to live in and some clothes so they don't look like they're from the Matrix. And someone sees the sign on the old clock tower saying it's from Odd Jobs, so they decide to take that cover instead of the buy more. And while working on a painting mission, Wes gets kidnapped by Rancic, and he learns of Rancic's backstory and begins to doubt if he's pure evil, although Jen assures him he is. Then we get some filler and then a brief sort of mattering story about Wes tricking his dad's associate into giving him money for some hostages that some mutants are holding. And as a result of that, he gets kicked out, and then he moves into the clock tower. Then we get a little more filler, and then an episode where their Megazord can't, like, take this mutant, so a mysterious figure from the future sends them the Time Shadow, and so he's going to be important. Anyway, so then the Rangers discover their presence is altering the future with technology and such, and then they encounter the Silver Guardians and discover who they are, that they work for Wes's dad, and they're basically heroes for hire. Wes recognizes one of them as Eric, his old prep school chum, and they get English accents in their flashbacks. Kidding. Okay, so later on, a mutant from the X-Vault attacks, and the Silver Guardians and the Time Force Rangers can't handle it. Wes's helmet gets cracked, and Mr. Collins, who's just passing by, and Eric notice that it's Wes. His dad offers him a job in the Silver Guardians, but Wes refuses because they take money for their job and don't help people for free. And then after that, we start the Quantum Ranger arc, in which researchers find the quantum control box, and everyone and their mother is after it, until Eric finds it and becomes the Quantum Ranger, and he wants to leave the Silver Guardians, but Mr. Collins says that he's not ready, he's miffed, and then Rancic sends a mutant to the past, to the prehistoric time, to find the Q-Rex, the Quantum Ranger's Zord, and Wes and Eric soon follow, but they're too late, and the mutant has taken over the Q-Rex and goes back to 2001. And then Wes and Eric follow him. It's just a giant race. The Q-Rex is rampaging, and while all this is going on, Mr. Collins offers the other four Rangers the opportunity to join the Silver Guardians and be led by Eric. And they say no because he's a douche. And then Eric's all sad and thinks that he's not worth it or whatever. I don't know. Eric then eventually gains control of the Q-Rex, and we learn about the origins of the quantum stuff is that it was sent back into the past in a time experiment, and something went wrong, and they got separated into time. So the Q-Rex went back to the medieval times, the prehistoric times, and the Morpher ended up in 2001, or not 2001. It ended up in the same time, but it survived. Anyway. Okay, so now we have an arc about we get some filler first, but then we have an arc about Venomax, who created a virus in the future that was deadly, and even Rancid got it. But there's a cure in the future. Rancid, Wes tries to get his dad to make the cure for free. Of course, his dad douches up the joint. When we find out that Rancid still has it and takes the antidote regularly, and we find out about Frax's past of how he helped Rancic and was betrayed, and then he goes apeshit and destroys all of Rancic's antidote, and but everything ends up okay in the end. Alex then returns and wants to take control as Red Ranger, tells Wes that his dad's going to die and his destiny to take over his company. So Wes leaves, Alex takes over, but the Rangers don't like Alex because he's a complete D-bag, and apparent that he was alone in the future because no one wanted to work with him. And then Wes returns as the Red Ranger, and Alex accepts him. And then while the Rangers pwn the monster of the week, Alex heals Wes's dad, changes the future. Jen gives her ring back to Alex. And then after that, we get some filler that involves getting some battleizers and teaming up with some light speeds and all that good stuff. So now it's finale time. So Rancic and Frax are both preparing attacks, and that rhymes. So Alex wants the four future Rangers back in the year 3000, but they refuse. Wes tricks them into going to the time ship and sends them back to the future. He teams up with Eric, and they decide to take on the threat alone. In the future, the Rangers learn of Wes's fate, that he sacrifices himself to protect the future, and then they immediately have to get their minds wiped, and they're like, wait, what? Back in the past, Wes and Eric fight valiantly, and Eric gets pwned and hurt, and he gives Wes's gear, and he's ready to fight alone. But the five Rangers in the future refuse to give up on their friend and return from the future, and they team up with Wes, and with the help of the Quantum Megazord, they destroy Doomtron, I think was the name of Frax's robot, and Frax, and Anthrax, get it? Lols. Anyway. So then the final confrontation is just with Rancic. Right before this, Nadira starts feeling empathetic of humans and believes that they're not all bad, but Rancic dismisses her claims and just like tosses her to the side. And so he goes to fight Time Force, and this is an epic battle, and then Rancic he strikes out against Nadira and the baby she was saving, and after being horrified by what he's done, he turns himself in to the Time Force Rangers, and he's finally arrested, and all of the four Time Force Rangers go back to the future. They share an emotional goodbye. Wes and Jen finally realize they love each other just when they have to leave. Darn it. And then Wes decides to join the Silver Guardians with Eric leading them, and the Silver Guardians are now pro bono and will protect everyone, and then it ends. Sorry. Yay. There's so much going on. I need water.
The story of this season was fantastic.
Honestly.
And it was so good to the point where it carries on to the next season's team-up. It's that good.
Honestly, it's that good. I didn't even mean to carry the British accent over that time. it really was. It was fantastic.
Like, everything just flowed fairly well. The filler episodes were still incredibly entertaining. I don't particularly remember too many episodes that were really bad.
They were pretty unique. Like, it wasn't like space level of like unique or still mattered, but they were pretty unique, and they would like develop a character in a way, or it would be like a fun episode, like the one where Katie went back to the past of the clock tower, or like the Movie Madness one, which I personally thought was pretty fun.
Yeah, like Movie Madness like was a big pile of but it was so fun. It was really good.
Yeah.
Like I liked Movie Madness. I don't know whether it should have been a two-parter or not, but Movie Madness was cool because I had the Transport Megazord fighting.
Yeah.
He sent himself.
It was fun. That's awesome.
Sorry.
It's okay. I forgive you.
So yeah, just flipping through like the episodes, like none of them really stand out as terrible. I mean, the episode with like Nadira and Lucas on their...
That was a rehash of like Astronomer and Zane.
Yeah, that was difficult. The team up we'll talk about in a little bit, but that one was kind of painful to get through too. But just, I mean, the whole thing with like changing your destiny and the entire meaning behind the story was just, it was really, really good for PR at the time.
Like, let me just say this to get this part out of the way is that like, this is starting with this season, which I guess is only two seasons they really did it. They started copying Sentai the most heavily.
Right.
But, like, people always say this to me when I'm talking about Samurai. It's like, why do you rag on Samurai when, like, you love Time Force? It's because Time Force changed enough stuff to make me happy. The characters were different than their counterparts, and they changed the main villain was a huge deal, and they changed elements of the story, and it had its own vibe. So in my mind, it was its own show. So that's why. I just want to get that out of the way. So it was a lot copied, but they made it their own. And that's what I'm just asking from Samurai, is if they can just put a little bit into it. So that's that argument.
Right.
But, yeah, I just wanted to say that, because I know people are going to comment on that. And people did when we get to the forum segment.
But everything kind of, it flowed really well with everything.
Yeah.
And
it was just great. Like,
we'll get into that later, but the cast was really good. They delivered very, not compelling,
believable performances.
Right. Which made the stories actually entertaining to watch and progress through. So
it was a step up from last year's acting, for sure.
Everything I think was a step up. I mean, like, right down to the entire theme, I think was better in my opinion.
But yeah, it was so well done. Like, people always say it was like a primetime PR. It kind of was. They had a lot of like mature ideas going on there.
And like, they wanted,
like, even
to,
though he didn't,
they wanted to do a movie and stuff.
Yeah, supposedly. I posted that. Chris asked that. At both Morphicons, I remember it specifically from one. I remember overhearing it when I was getting like autographs from Time Force people. But the cast said that they heard rumors backstage about a possible movie, and then there was a possibility of an episode extension, and then there was also talk of them coming back next season or doing a Time Force season 2. There was just, like, I don't know how concrete any of it was, but I'm pretty sure there was some kind of talk.
Yeah.
Because all, like, that's what they always said, is that there was talk. Like, I wouldn't have minded all three of those.
I know, I would have been fine with that.
And I remember there was versions where Eric died, like Time Fire and stuff.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad he didn't, because
yeah, there was
awesome. But
like, because people always say, well, it's not concrete, not confirmed. I'm like, yeah, it was probably just, there's a lot of backstage talk about what ideas bounce around in the writer's room, so I'm sure it was brought up at some point.
And like, this season had the unfortunate place of happening during 9/11, and considering the main villain of this season was a mutant terrorist, it didn't, once 9/11 hit, things kind of went bad, but considering everything that happened, we still got a really good finale that I'm glad they kind of stuck to their bones with. I mean, that there was certain things that were edited at that point. I think Rofang has a list on his wiki thing about all the changes that Time Force went through. I'll link that in the show notes if anyone wants to take a look at it. But for the most part, it was just like building explosions and stuff that they cut out.
Yeah, there's a lot more of that in the previous seasons.
Which one was it? Something happened in Full Exposure. Like, I don't even know. I think that episode stopped airing or something because that building was getting attacked.
Someone was fully exposed.
I forgot which episode it was, but with, like, when Rancic appeared, like, on the TVs, and he was all like, I will take over everything and destroy everything. Bah. Like, that was editor.
Was that too similar to Osama or something?
I guess. I don't know.
John Casey got him. Don't even worry about it. But, yeah. As a whole, it was just a great story. Like, from the beginning,
It didn't have, like, noticeable, like, chunks. It flowed. Like, that's just my thought.
Yeah, it did. It just flowed. Like, it was perfect. Like, they had great motivation for going to the past, which was my main problem with Lost Galaxy. And even, like, not Lightspeed to an extent, just because this season seemed more motivated because they all had a reason.
Yeah.
Like, the four main guys, it was their mission, and then Wes's mission was to prove his place in life, and like, it would just float so well with Rancic's story, and the whole idea of them coming back to the past, and they touched on that thing of destiny, like you talked about, and then the idea that the timeline was changing because of their presence, and they touched on so many different things that can happen because of time travel. Mm-hmm. And it was a good season of having, like, because a lot of the times in, like, PR Sentai, sometimes you'll have, like, the season that did a good story, or you'll have a season that had good character development, and this one had a good case of both.
Yeah,
all five members didn't get complete development, but a good chunk of them did, or at the very least got a very distinct character to them. Mm-hmm. Which I think is a good segue into characters, unless there's anything else you have to say about the story.
I'm ready to move on.
Okay, so characters. As always, we start with Red. Which Red should we start with?
We'll start with the real one.
Okay, so I was going to make a joke and I died. Okay, so Wes.
Okay, Wes so was Wes, awesome.
Wes is awesome. Wes is the shit. Not quite as much as the shit as TJ, but he's still the shit.
Like, I really liked Wes. Like, he was a cocky asshat at first, but he changed incredibly fast. Like, once he realized, like, the extent of what was going on and everything, and he started disbanding his riches and went to go fun in a clock tower with a bunch of people.
The clock tower? Well, that was gross. But yeah, I really liked Wes. Like, he was like the first Red Ranger of his kind. Like, he was so, like you said, he was kind of cocky at the beginning, and he kind of had like just a better, like, overall easygoing personality at times, and he had like more fun of being a ranger at the beginning. Like, because previously, like, we had MNPR pretty much just had Bricks, and then TJ was cool, but he didn't have quite as like an easygoing thing. Andros was kind of uptight. Leo was just a man whore, and then Carter was uptight. But like, Wes just felt like the first of his kind of a Red Ranger. And he probably had one of the best stories of all of them.
Like, he did. Most of the story was focused on him. Like, honestly, besides Jen, like, Lucas, Tripp, and Katie got nowhere. But, But, like, his entire story, like, going from rich snob to, like, world defender, like, over the course of the season, just, it really, really worked. And, like, I know it's just a fictional character, but I have the utmost respect for him.
Yeah. It reminds me of, Otoya from Kiva, in the sense that he changes so much.
Yeah.
And it's such a good character change from beginning to end, and that's why I like those characters so much. And, like, all the stories were so good with his dad, whether it was tricking his associate and giving him money, or with the virus, and just the tension there was really well played between the actors. Like, I can't really remember his name right now. Wes's actor's name, quickly. Jason, do you know it offhand?
What's his name?
Yeah, Jason something. Font. There we go. Okay. Maybe. Yeah, he did a really good job. I mean, in terms of playing two characters, also, but he did a really good job, and his performance just came off organic, and he was just so good, and especially in the last episodes with the dramatic final battles and everything, and it was just he did a really great job, and Wes is one of my all-time favorite characters. I just like him. I think he's cool. He's a cool guy.
Like, he's easily one of my favorite Reds. Like, I think he was a fantastically written and fantastically acted character.
Yeah. People always say he's overrated, but I guess you could say that if you want to overuse the term. But, I don't really think so, because I think he had a really great story and good change, and he was really cool. I liked him. I couldn't really find any faults about him, really. Is that about it for Wes?
Yeah, I think so.
Should we talk about Alex?
Yeah, we can
do
Alex.
The same character,
we can
same.
Do Alex Nut.
Since it's the same actor, Alex was a complete douchebag. But Jason Font did a good job of playing both sides of the coin. I thought.
Like, he was a giant douche. But at the same time, like, he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
For the most part, but it was really weird. I didn't understand.
It was kind of like,
half the time.
He was motivated by, like, the fear of changing the timeline. But then, like, he kind of realized that if you change, like, tiny things, it wouldn't be that bad. Like, because he healed Wes's dad, which was, like, a good moment. And, like, he was kind of a douche. Like, when he took over, he was just such an overwhelming douche. Like, when I started watching this, I commented that why was he the only ranger in the future? That's because he can't work well as a team. He's not a very good team player. So, he was just an overwhelming douche when they worked together. He was like, come on, get up, you ass bags. And I don't know. And just the way he treated Jen when he came back seemed kind of weird, that he would treat her that way. Mm-hmm. But he did a good job as an actor, obviously, with both sides. I don't know. He was kind of a douche, but he was okay.
I don't really have too much else to say about Alex, really.
Yeah.
Like,
he didn't do a whole lot.
I just thought he was a douche, and
Yeah. Like, he ended up being all right in the end, but he was a douche, and he took like Wes's bloodline, like all that time to evolve to have the slick back hair like Mike.
Yeah, like I didn't know.
I thought that was pretty neat.
With that. Like, I just don't understand how. Like, well, I mean, I guess because the Alex that was in the show would have came from a Wes that was still a snobby bastard.
Yeah.
So when I initially watched it, I always had trouble understanding how like a douche like Alex could come from someone as cool as Wes, and then it dawns on me that the Alex that was in the show would have came from a Wes that was a snobby bitch. So.
Although it's over thousands of years or 1,000 years, it's a long time.
They shouldn't even look the same, but.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you get that like where you'll see an old photograph of like relatives and they'll look sort of like you.
Yeah.
So I see what they're going for. And, like, they have. The reason they did that was the whole drama with Jen and stuff.
Yeah. Like, oh, he looks like my boyfriend, man.
But he's not my boyfriend.
He's cooler than my boyfriend. That's not...
I want to be in love with someone 1,000 years in the past. So, theoretically, she could be Alex's mom, which is really creepy.
Nah,
I'm just really creeped out. Okay, it's like, oh, I fell in love with your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. What? Anyway, so who should we do next?
Jen.
Yeah, because we usually do Pink's last, but she's kind of like...
I'm going in the order on
important.
Wiki.
Well, there's no need for your tude, but... Jen was a really good character, probably like one of the strongest Pinks. Like, it took me a while to warm up to her when I was younger. Like, because she just came off as such a bitch. But, she had, a really good character. It was such a different Pink, because she was kind of, like, the leader, pretty much. Like, it was kind of like she was the leader at first, and then she kind of, like, co-led with Wes as it went on. But that was really unique to have. And she had a good story with Alex and all that drama with Wes and the love triangle and her just warming up. She showed a lot of character change by the end as well. Being from kind of like a brah, we have to do the mission, brah, to like, you know, warming up at the end and coming back for Wes. And she had a good character change. Like, I actually really didn't care for her at first, but she definitely grew on me, and the actress did a pretty decent job.
Yeah. Erin Cale was a fantastic actress. She played the character, I think, almost perfectly. She could play like the nice girl and then the like military straight-laced female role.
Rule books, Matrix.
Like, at the same time, like my favorite Pink, honestly. I can't think
really?
Of a Pink. I can't think of a Pink that I liked more than her. And in especially in terms of like character development, character growth and everything like that. I can't think of a Pink that I actually thoroughly enjoyed. As much as
she probably
Jen's
is the
character.
Like the best Pink as a character,
And she was like
really
an auxiliary
like, she's
leader
like,
too, so like she was like the first female leader. So she was pretty big.
It was she was pretty big. And then she did wear tight leather in the team up, so she's on Corone status. She went for that title.
Yeah. She had dreadlocks and shit too.
Yeah, she turned into a crankcase. Almost a skull again. Anything else more to add about Jen?
Not too much. I mean, I feel like there's more to say, but like, really, she was just a fantastic character, I think.
Yeah, other than just the acting was good. Like, the final performances in, like, the final episode of, like, the goodbyes were done really well on everybody, but hers and Jason Fonta in particular. Was done really well. Or like another standout acting moment was when they were leaving in the time ship.
Yeah. Like that was probably one of the most emotionally engaging scenes in PR that we've had lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean like Countdown to Destruction was full of really like emotionally driven scenes, but
yeah.
But in terms of like character sparks and everything, that was like the moment. Particularly for them.
Time Force had a really, like, great emotional, like, response moments for me. Like, Space, like you said, was the last one, but I can't think of a series after that that, like, got me, like, as, like, emotional, quote-unquote, like, where I cared about it so much, or, like, what happened, because the cast was just so like well done.
Yeah.
So much drama to go with it. So should we talk about next? Oh, you're doing the order. I forgot. Excuse me.
Lucas
was a cool guy.
A pimp.
He was a car driving pimp. He was like Kramer. I don't know. I'm always comparing everyone to Kramer. I don't know why. But he did, like we said, they didn't get like a ton of development, but he got some good moments. Like he used to be like, wasn't he used to be a criminal? Yeah, that's right.
He was a
race car driver.
Illegal race driver.
Illegal race dude. Yeah. But that was a neat idea that he used to like not always be like super like time cop guy. He was used to be bad, and he was like reformed into a cop, which is a cool archetype to have.
Yeah.
And like that, other than like those few moments that he had, like I don't remember a whole lot about him, but he was really cool, and the actor did a pretty decent job with him, and he was a good like cool blue.
Yeah, he was. Was he the start of? I think he was like the start of like the cool blue.
Yeah.
Like I can't remember anyone.
Which instantly stopped with Max.
Like he was a womanizer, and he didn't really care to hide it. Like
yeah, like because there's always like that.
You're my bitch.
Like there's like the two blue archetypes. Except for like people who are like Kitty, but there's like the cool blue, and then there's like the dick by the rules blue, like Sky and Kai, and all their names rhyme. But like he was just a really good cool blue, and he had a decent backstory, and I liked Lucas.
Like I mean, he didn't do much, but he was still a fairly enjoyable character, I think.
Yeah. Pretty much, like there's not really a lot to say about most of them.
Yeah, Lucas, Trip, and Katie didn't really get anywhere in the...
Trip stands out the most because he's got green hair.
Yeah, Trip has very obnoxious green hair and a jewel on his face, but.
Oh, and he flashes on
his
stuff.
Forehead, and it's like buried, and there's like. But anyway, on to Trip. Trip was interesting because he was like an alien.
Yeah, that was another cool.
So
thing that
he was the first alien ranger, sort of, because it's hard to count Andross as an alien. Because
he was a human. He said that.
Dude.
Yeah.
So I don't really count him. I mean, Trip was humanoid too, but. Like, they actually went into detail about his alien and the fact that he had psychic powers and he had fucking green hair and a bright orange jacket. He was trying to be Naruto. So,
like, I'm not sure why he beat Ash, because Ash had way more... Oh, shit. Sorry. You're describing the right clothes and everything.
It's true. Give him green hair and you've got both Trips being the same thing. But Trip...
Pretty much.
I liked Trip just because of the relationship he had with Circuit.
Oh, Circuit is the shiznit!
Circuit
is my homeboy.
We will totally get to Circuit later. Because Circuit is the shit.
Awesome.
But I honestly really liked Trip. He didn't do
I liked
much,
Trip too.
But I really liked him. I liked his character. He was, like, the nice guy. He just wanted to help everyone. Like, I remember that one episode where he, like, helped to deliver that woman's baby in the clothing store.
Oh, yeah.
Madeira.
That was funny. Like, he was such a unique character. Like, I really liked him, and he stood out more of the three characters that sort of got the shaft because they weren't main. But he had his good moments. Like, he was kind of, like, less experienced in fighting as the others. I feel like there was times he, like, tried to prove himself and such. And he brought, like, interesting elements, like we said, with Circuit and with, like the flashes with his, like, future knowledge and stuff that he had going on, which was really interesting. And I just thought he overall played a really good character, and he was unique, and the fact that he was an alien, and I really liked Trip.
I approve of Trip. Like he was a good green. To go with old G.
He was a good guy.
He was a good guy green. A good green guy or
was good
was
green.
Green.
He's, I don't
sort
know.
Of, maybe.
He's G good green. I don't know anymore what I'm saying. Alright, who's next on the Wikipedia?
Katie.
Katie's my least favorite.
Katie
I don't really
is
like
easily
Katie.
My least favorite. It's not even because she's a girl. It's before anyone tries to jump on the racist thing. It's not because she's black.
Yeah.
Her character
that's
just
one,
literally
that's
went...
That's I'm glad Kevin's not here right
now. Her character literally just went nowhere. Like...
Yeah. I just didn't like her.
She
like,
was
her
She-Hulk.
Thing was, My favorite moment was in like the pilot when they're like, "Dude, we need your like obviously fake hover car," and he's like, "No way!" And then she just like threw him. Best moment in the whole series. Like it was funny, like when she'd hug people and like, "Lol, she's strong," but whatever. Like I just didn't care for her. She honestly bugged me the most out of the core five or anybody. I just didn't care for her. I mean, her character was supposed to be a guy.
Yeah.
Like, with the others, they all had petite yellows, but this yellow was obviously a guy. He was, like, basketball tall. Like,
yeah, that's true. He was pretty
Yao
tall.
Yao Ming. Like, yeah, like, I just didn't care for her. She was my least favorite.
Like, the only thing I ever remember from her is that episode where she went, like, in that dream time.
Yeah.
Probably Colonial California again.
Probably.
And she's seen all well,
there's
these
no slavery.
And there's no slavery in the Power Rangers universe.
Because it's a Rube Goldberg plot. What are you talking about? They don't even know what they were doing.
But Katie was just... She felt like she was just there.
She was. Like, she got the least focus. Because Lucas had like, "Hey, I'm the cool guy." And Tripp's like, "I'm an alien with green hair and I talk to the owl." Katie's like, "Hey.
Hey.
I'm structured like a man."
I'm like, a man, baby.
Katie did her best I'm a man punch.
Katie probably has a better I'm a man punch than Carter does. Just saying.
Like I said, she does, obviously. She's stronger than Carter. She's bigger than him and stronger. Anyway, like I said a few seconds ago, it's obvious that they did that because the yellow's more petite, but I never understood that decision based on the fact as they went along, Bandai America pimped out the guys, didn't give a shit about the girls, and in particular with this season where yellow looked like a guy, why didn't they make it a guy and then give him a whole other ranger to pimp out and make toys for people to buy? Because no one would want a yellow ranger figure because it's a girl. I mean, like, you know what I mean, like the kids. But if they would have made it a guy, they'd be like, "Lols, it's another boy, bye."
Yeah.
I don't understand that marketing decision.
They had this thing with there needed to be two girls.
Yeah, like, I don't know what that's about, because like they could have easily marketed it another guy.
They're like afraid of making yellow a dude until Ninja Storm. Because
they had to. Yeah. It would have been awkward if they did it the other way around. Like, blue would have to be, like, really petite gay guy. I mean, it'd have to be a transvestite, actually. He's got a skirt. So, yeah. And they changed production, but still. Like, Time Force was blatantly obvious it was a guy. So should have been Yao Ming.
Yeah.
Let's get our DeLorean and go back to the decision.
Yao Ming.
Eric.
Eric
is awesome.
Eric is... Okay. So, Eric started off as a total D-bag. Like, seriously, I hated him so much at first, because he would go around and just not care
D-bag.
About anything and, like, shoot people. I don't think he ever really shot people, but, like, he
allegedly.
Hated Wes, and I was, like, a big Wes fanboy, so I was like, "Don't make fun of Wes, stupid!" Except I watched this...
Leave him alone!
Except I watched this when I was, like, 16 or 17, so don't know why.
That's
pretty
funny.
Pretty awesome voice, but...
Like, he reverted.
Like, he had, like, a very similar character progression to Wes, except he just started off as a total douche, and then learned to work with them, and then learned to respect them, and then partner up with them and everything. Like, I remember, like, he was taking care of that cockatoo.
Yeah, I always remember the damn bird.
And then, like, it was then I was like, "Dude, he has a bird. This guy's legit."
This guy is... That bird is deluxe. He is now legit the shit deluxe.
And so I just remember being, like... Then, like, getting a giant boner for Eric instead. Well, and Wes. Like, them together, like... But, I don't...
Yeah,
I have no idea where I was going
bone.
With that.
I don't know either. I was a little frightened.
I mean, kind of just, like, say everything I said about Wes and then apply it to Eric, too. Because, Dan Southworth... Amazing martial artist, amazing actor... Really all-around awesome guy. And he
just
delivered the role in a completely believable way, just like Jason Font did. And he was badass awesome.
Interesting, like, fact before I say anything. Like, I think it was the MMPR season 2 auditions,
yes.
But he went to audition, And like, I feel like he was on a panel with Johnny Young Bosch, and he's talking about how he saw, it was either Johnny Young Bosch or Steve Cardenas that he saw like doing like a shit ton of kicks in line. Like he was doing like a shit ton of high kicks, like, and he's like, oh fuck, I'm not going to get this part. But he auditioned a bunch of times, and like, it was so worth it that he didn't make it because he ended up being like one of the most awesome Rangers in history.
Yeah.
And like, I think I remember him saying he was glad that he got to play like a badass character instead of like a goody two shoes one.
He was
auditioning for. Yeah, that's what he was auditioning for, but I don't remember who. It was one of the two. I feel like it was Johnny Young Bosch just because of that.
Yeah.
But there was a shit ton of kicks in line. This is intimidating. Johnny Young Bosch, like, watch this.
Like, I just can't imagine Dan Southworth as Adam. But
yeah, like, just being quiet. Like, all this, like, rage building up. He'd be like Casey. Like, he'd be in the background just like, But Eric was just so good. Like, he was a complete douche, but I loved that he was so different from what we've gotten from the traditional Ranger formula of, like, the Sixth Ranger either being a BFF and coming in, or, like, being an enemy and then automatically bonding with everyone after, like, the revelation, like Tommy or Titanium, is that he's actually like, fuck you, I'm working with the Silver Guardians. And we actually had a Ranger for pretty much the whole series working on a different team. Is that he worked as the Silver Guardians, and they had the whole, like, wanting to be a leader thing, which was really cool. But then, like you said, we slowly got to see him respect the Rangers, and in the end, teaming up with Wes and then ultimately becoming his partner was just, like, the perfect journey for him. And he played it so well. And I loved it. Like, he was so unique. And I love the fact that he wasn't a nice guy. Like, too often, Rangers are just too nice. And I love it when people are more real. And he was just awesome. I love him. No homo. Okay, so
side characters. Circuit.
Circuit's the shit, and best developed character ever in PR history. Enough said.
Circuit was this season's alpha, and he was awesome, Eric, and then alpha, because he was a bird. And
awesome,
Well, I love Circuit. Like, I want a Circuit toy.
I know.
Like, do they make one of those?
That would be awesome. A Circuit that talks to you?
Like, the thing is, if they make one for Time Ranger, I still don't want it because it doesn't have Circuit's voice.
Yeah, it's not Circuit. That doesn't count. That's Dirkit.
Dirkit.
I'm just saying stuff now. But I loved Circuit. Like, he was just such a fun little guy. And he laughed. He wasn't like a traditional, like, he laughed and good times. I just meant, like, he wasn't like a robot. Like, he actually had a personality and, like, a friendship with the Rangers and Trip in particular. And he was just so cool. I just really loved him.
I mean, he was cool enough to inspire the design of that big fat thing from Bokinger, the fat bird.
Honestly. Big Fat, that's his name.
Big Fat Bird.
Yeah, he's Big Bird's foil. He's his arch enemy. Bluebird. I don't know anymore.
Go
ahead.
I don't know. I love him so much.
Yeah, he was just such a likable little robot character.
Like, didn't he get pwned one episode?
I feel like he did, and I was like really
I was
sad.
Really crying. I mean, I wasn't crying, but
I was sad.
There was a tear. There was a man tear in there somewhere.
There was two man tears.
Your man tear.
I really liked Circuit. He was a really great supporting character, and he was just really cool. And he was all like, bye, Wes. I'm like, bye, Circuit. Even though I'm not Wes, I'm waving goodbye to you. I want him to travel around in my backpack and give me advice on life. Should be a show called Life Lessons by Circuit.
I'd watch it.
And didn't he summon the Time Flyers?
Yeah, he did, like,
in other
everything.
Words, their ride home. Fuckers. I have to talk about that, since we didn't talk about it in the story real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're like, lols, we're trapped, our time ship has exploded, but they're constantly sending him shit from the future. They could have gone back at any time in the Time Flyers. In fact, that's how they got back in the finale, so that was total BS. We're trapped, not.
Like, I mean, that's what was it ever explained at all? Like, how they can send the Zords from the future, but they can't come back?
Well, even if they did explain it, it was totally, like, stupid, because that's how they came back from the future in the finale. So basically it was a giant plot hole, in my opinion.
Whatever.
Unless someone has like a miracle answer or something for the comments.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, I just had to derail that.
There was Captain Logan, but he was not important at all.
His name is Logan. He did so.
Okay, Mr. Collins is like the only other character I can think of that's worth talking about.
Yeah, that's really like. He got more development than Katie.
He did. He got more development than like Lucas, Chip, and Katie combined.
Pretty much. This is basically the Wes, Eric, and Mr. Collins show. Also starring Jen.
Like, he was played by Edward Lawrence Albert, but unfortunately he passed, so.
He died?
Yeah.
Wow, how can you die if you have four names?
Edward Lawrence Albert.
That's
like
sad.
Names.
I feel all sad now. I didn't even, you know what? When I counted, I said it's four. I don't know, but that's sad. I didn't even know he died.
Yeah.
How old was he?
I want to say it was a heart attack or something.
Yeah, it's like still, that's sad. But I, after we talk about what he did, I hated the shit out of him for the whole, pretty much the whole show until he redeemed himself.
Yeah, like until the whole thing with when like the crystal thing and like Wes saved his life or something.
Yeah, because the crystals were a big deal. But like he was the biggest rich shithead ever. Like what a dick. No, I'm not going to save these kids. Oh, I'm going to charge them for the antidote. Oh, we're going to charge him with the Silver Guardians. I hate helping people. Fuck you, Wes. Like, damn, that guy was an ass.
Like, I agree with you that he was, like, a douche through the whole thing, but, like, I think it's just because I love characters that get development. And
oh,
he
yeah,
got, he
I
got
love
a
that he
lot
got
of
developed.
Development, so I kind of like his character, even
oh,
though
yeah,
he's a
I liked
complete
his character
douche.
In the end. I was saying I hated him in the beginning. Until
yeah,
he got...
well, I mean, he was a douche in the beginning. He was, like, out to get Wes. He was like,
yeah.
You betray me!
He was, like, a secondary antagonist. Like, I loved him once he, you know, redeemed himself, and in the end, like, making the Silver Guardians, like, pro bono and all that stuff, and I thought he was a really good character. I loved his character, just, like, he did a really good job of playing someone I hated at the beginning.
Yeah, like, I enjoyed his character. Like, I think he was vital, actually. Like,
yeah.
If he wasn't in the show, I don't think it would have worked nearly as well.
Yeah, because
like,
of what
the
Wes
whole Destiny thing.
Yeah.
Like, if he was only at the beginning and was like, you know what, Dad, I hate you, and storms off, and then we never see him again, like, the entire transition between West and Destiny and all that wouldn't have worked. And, like, the story arc where he, like, dies, and then they bring him back to life because Alex does or something, I think.
He had a crystal ball, and he was like, oh, I'm gonna remember me,
like,
and then it worked.
I mean, that in particular, like, was an amazing story arc.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like the whole turning point in the show.
Yeah, there was like a redeeming point for him because he realized... But a lot of what he did like was sort of out of love for his son, but he did it in a dick way.
Yeah. It was asshole love, basically.
Like, he just wanted the best for him, pretty much. Like, he's like, you have all this money, take advantage of it. By being an ass just like me, join me, and we will jerk up the world. That sounded gross. I'm going to be honest. But yeah, he was a great character. One of the best, like, side characters in PR history, probably. I think that's it. There's no other side characters that I can think of.
Yeah, there was a couple other ones, like Zaskins, but he wasn't that important. There was a butler guy. He was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, he was awesome. He looks like the... It was one of the Alfreds from one of the cartoons. Looks exactly like him in human form. I almost feel like it's the Batman's one. Looks exactly like him, seriously. But yeah, and there was like their commander who was like a dick. You're fired. What? Not Donald Trump. You didn't even give him transport from Southern California. What a jerk.
Collins is kind of like Trump when you think about it.
He is.
He looks at Wes and is like, you're fired.
I didn't even work for you. You're fired from being my son.
That doesn't even work, Dad.
And then he just runs off. Reminds me of Dr. Evil and...
You're fired and pulls out a flamethrower.
You're fired. Lol. I get it. You're time fired. Lol. Okay. So, Virens. Okay. I guess we should start with the head honcho, the big cheese. Clacklebots. No, I'm kidding. I was going to say Gluto, but... Rancic. Rancic is... God damn it, Engine Soul. That thing is fucking Phantom. Rancic is a fantastic villain. He's like one of the best villains ever, and Vernon Wells is so awesome. Like, he was just so good. Like, that's one of the things that made Time Force original, is they gave it an original villain with a really great backstory. Like, he was ridiculed, like, for whatever reason. I guess humans in the future are complete dicks, and then retarded people are just shunned. That's how it's going to work in the future. So sorry, people that bag your stuff at the grocery store. But, like, he had such a good story. Like, he was shunned, and he went off, and he did that thing with the orcs, which we'll talk about next time. But, and, like, he just had such a great backstory where he was, like, he still had, like, a bit of redeemableness to him, and he loved his daughter. I don't know where his daughter came from, but he loved her. She might have been adopted by Pink. Oh, it's his daughter with Pink. Okay. I remember now. And, like, he was just so great, and his performance was, like, really, like, awesome. And then the whole final battle was, like, really emotionally driven with, like, the four Rangers and all the history between them. Like, especially with Jen. Like, even though she was out of love with Alex, it was still an emotional battle. And when he almost struck down his daughter, and, like, the way he just kind of was like, oh, fuck, I'm a horrible person, and went to jail. Like, it was just such a great, like, villain. He wasn't so one-dimensional like a lot of PR villains where they're just like, oh, I'm a bad alien, you kill me by the end. He was like more like a believable, like, comic book superhero type villain where he actually was a person before it and had an actual story and motivations. And Vernon Wells is just a fantastic actor and a really cool guy in person. He's hilarious at panels.
He was an incredibly respected actor too. He's been in a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
But, like, he's, I want to say he's my favorite villain just because, again, he had such a, like, he didn't really have a lot of character progression, because he was like, oh, I'm the bad guy, but he had, like, a really solid backstory, and, like, he still had a lot of emotion going on.
Yeah.
Between, like, Nadira, and then, like, an absolute hatred towards Frax.
And humans.
And
because of
humans and people.
Like, he was, like, totally justified in,
like,
that, too, because what
he
they
was,
did to him.
He was a villain that you could respect, because, I mean, yeah, what he did is terrible, but at the same time, what everyone else did to him was terrible, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, if, it's kind of like if someone got, like, bullied and then they went on some sort of, like, killing rampage.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can't justify the murder or anything like that, but it's more of a understandable position, I guess, than someone who was just a complete psychopath.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, just, like, out of it's nowhere. Still not good, and it's still not justified, but, like, you kind of feel for him because he was shunned half his life.
Yeah.
Just because he was different. I mean, this carried a lot of, I mean, not so much race, not racist, but, like, tones of racism.
Yeah, a lot of political issues.
But that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, like, the entire concept was very political, and it took a lot of concepts that were very real life.
Yeah.
And I think that's why this is a PR series that so many people can relate to. Or at
least
understand better.
What was funny is when I was younger, my explanation for them being there being mutants was like that all of that alien and monster DNA got on Earth from the previous battles of the past and it, like, created those shits. But, like, I remember the explanation was like in the future people, like, engineer their kids and shit, and they were like the mistakes, and they just threw them out. Like, whoa, future people are dicks.
Future sucks, dude.
I know, damn. We all become communists. I don't know what happens. And it's, fuck, I don't know. And then the judges are just holograms. What the fuck?
They don't even exist. No. It's a matrix.
It is the matrix. Yeah, clearly, in their sunglasses. But he was a great.
Rancic was amazing, I think.
He was. Vernon Wells is, like, so awesome. He was so awesome to meet at Morphicon. He was, like, the funniest person at that whole panel. It was fantastic.
Yeah, he seems like a really cool guy.
Oh, it was awesome. He was. He was a great guy.
Nadira, I don't have too much to say about Nadira. Like, I didn't really like her most of the time. She felt really forced and annoying.
She was, like, a generic, like, villain bitch.
Like, she reminded me of, like, Diva Tox, but minus the crazy and then plus, like, sass.
Yeah. And she watched, like, shows.
And
I feel like she watched something recognizable.
She watched Mask Rider.
Yeah, that's what it was. Mask Rider. No. Her whole thing at the end with thinking humans was redeemable was a really good story point.
Yeah,
and really,
that was when I actually started to appreciate her character.
It felt really sudden.
No, it was. It was very,
like,
sudden.
I felt like the last quarter they could have slowly built it, but, like, it was a good idea. I just felt it could have been better executed, but it was very well done, and they redeemed her character very well.
Yeah.
And she ended up, and the actress did a good job with it.
Yeah, I never really minded her acting too much. I mean, I didn't like the way the character was portrayed sometimes, but that was the way she was written.
But she did a good job at the end, like with the whole, like when she's super passionate about saving people and that baby in particular and stuff at the end, kid. So that's right. Frax was another great villain.
Very, very interesting villain, in my opinion.
Like, what a backstory.
He saved Rancic by creating the serum that he uses to stay humanish.
Yeah.
And then, like, he destroyed... Rancic destroyed his lab or something?
Yeah. He like, blew his lab up and then, like, Frax's burnt remains made a robot somehow. I don't think that's possible, but whatever. Like, he would be, like... He's, like, the guy from Austin Powers... I'm bleeding very bad. The wound smells a bit like almonds. But I'm starting to rebuild myself into a robot. Oh, you shot me again, you bastard! Like, I don't know how that works, but it was a very good story. And it just turned this, like really, like, nice doctor into, like, this horribly, like, twisted, evil robot. Like, he was a crazy mofo. Awkward pause.
No, I'm thinking this time. Actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. But yeah, like, I'll just keep talking then, I guess.
Go ahead.
It was just so great. Like, I didn't cover his story in the summary because I figured we'd talk about it now. But like, what a great story! And then he works his way into Rancic's ranks, and like, it was a good, like, having two villains that had very real motivations for why the way they are, mm-hmm. and then having Rancic be the one that can be redeemed and come back from it, and then Frax being the opposite side of the coin of what happens is you have someone who has a redeemable story, but he had removed the human so much from himself and let hate consume him that he just became a crazy motherfucker and just went off on everyone in his eyes like, that was creepy when he did that.
I couldn't describe that any better.
Yeah, like, he was a crazy mofo. There, I just talked for Ryan.
No, like, I honestly can't explain that any better. That's, like, his story to a T. The Rancic and Frax, I hate saying dynamic all the time.
Dynamic.
But it played so well, like a kind of a balancing act within the evil people.
Yeah.
And like, Frax kind of reminds me a little bit like Bligilla from Ghost Sager.
Oh yeah, where he's like plotting all along.
He plots all this stuff. He infiltrates ranks to backstab people and stuff. Yeah. Frax is a lot cooler, and he was better at it.
Yeah,
but
he also gives me a slight Starscream vibe.
Oh god!
Like, oh yes, Lord Megatron. Huh? Lord, I hate you.
His voice was very Starscream-esque.
Yeah, he was very much like Starscream because he's like, oh yes, of course, Lord Megatron. And then in the back, he like mumbles to himself about how he's gonna kill him. What? What'd you say, Starscream? Nothing.
Nothing. Just that I'm
just
hungry.
I'm gonna voice SpongeBob later. It's animated, lols. But yeah, he was another fantastic villain. Like, what a dark story. That was like one of the darkest stories PR's ever gotten.
Yeah, like I think honestly, Time Force is about as dark as it gets.
I think it. I don't know. The Apocalypse is a little bit dark. RPM.
Yeah, that had a dark feel to it. It's kind of a dark approach.
It's more like with a lot of things I've been noticing about, like, even Lost Galaxy and stuff. Something, if you go and really think about it, how dark it was.
Yeah.
It, like, I think Frax, unless I run along something I think about later, I think he's the darkest individual villain, like, in terms of story, like, how twisted it was. But I think RPM's concept overall was pretty bleak. But he has, like, the most twisted backstory. Yeah. Like, shit. That shit's, it's like a CSI story or something. CSI. Gluto. Gluto was the main villain in Time Ranger, and this is one of my main, like, I've seen a few Time Rangers. I don't want to bother watching it because it's always going to be Time Force to me. But he was the main villain, and like, he was this big fat thing that just farted, and then they made Rancic, and then they made Time Force, so it'll always be Time Force for me. But I don't know what his story was, but in that first battle in the episode, he literally, like, puffed gas and flew at Jen because he has no articulation. He was just there. He was just there, like, rawr, rawr, rawr. And I love the fact they turned the main villain into a bumbling side character, like Squat.
I mean, like, he only fights, like, I think that once. And,
yeah. I don't even remember what the fuck happened to that guy.
No, wait, no, they when all the mutants started getting pwned.
Uh-huh.
Like, he froze himself because he didn't want to get owned.
Oh, yeah, that's right, I forgot.
He ran into the little freezer thing. It was like,
that's
you know what,
funny.
Screw this. And then he turned into an action figure.
I want the collection. I want the cryo prison collection.
Mutant Capsule EX collection.
EX, that'd be awesome.
SP.
Bandai Collector Shop. Ishinomori Web. I don't know. But he was just there.
The Cyclobots were stupid.
Yeah, like
they
their designs.
That stupid dance thing.
What is that about? They're advanced robots from the year 3000, and they're like, hey, da, da, da. What are you doing? Like, hey, yeah, are you Indians? Like, their designs were cool. Except for the spandex thing. Like, I don't know. Like, I know they have spandex, but it just always throws me off because it looks so fake. But, like, their helmets and their, like,
yeah,
their, like, sword laser weapon
are
cool.
I didn't like Cyclobots. They
didn't
frightened
like,
me.
They frightened you?
They were
I'm
created
sorry.
By Frax, so...
Yeah, they're... But they were...
Frax was like, I can be the only one that's intelligent. And they're like,
yeah,
they
had a... hey, oh, well, yeah. Well, they bothered me. But their designs, they fit the theme of the show, for sure. Overall, well, I guess Rancic's costume was, I guess it was pretty cool. Like, the way he covered everything, talking about designs. The way he covered, like, all of his, like, mutated parts. I think he's just a burn victim. And he thought he was a mutant. he just went around, I'm a mutant. Like, the fireman. Oh, sir, you're just a... No! I'm a mutant! That'd be hilarious. But Rancic's powers are really cool. I have to comment on that. We find out how he gets that next season, which is funny. But
yeah.
That's a really cool power. He just like slams knee. I have a sword. Now you die. and then like the overall villains were kind of just mixed designs. Like some cool, some not, because they're all different individual criminals. So there's really no like running motif that I noticed all that much.
That's all for villains, I think.
Yeah. That's it. I don't remember anyone else other than just like the few standout ones like the Jen's old partner and stuff, but there's no other standout main villains.
Yeah.
And Venomark.
There was that knight guy that he got the Battleizer for.
Oh, he doesn't count.
He doesn't count.
So now we should talk about the team-up.
Yes. From here on out, the team-up will go at the end of story in between
yeah,
the character.
We totally forgot.
Just forgot again. And
yeah.
Honestly, this team-up was worth forgetting.
Yeah.
It was a one-shot episode with the Lightspeed Rest...
Lightspeed
Rangers. And, like, there was, like, demons that were, like, in cloaks that were trying to be Megatron and...
Arm Megatron. And Arm Cannonball.
Like, I don't remember too much else.
It wasn't that great. Like, it wasn't like last year's.
It was a terrible one-shot episode.
Yeah, it was just, like, it was a team-up. It was entertaining to see them together, but there wasn't a whole lot going on. It wasn't kind of like as messy as last year's was, and it was easier to watch, but it was okay. It was aight.
It was like nothing can really compare to Wild Force's team up with Time Force.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Not even the fact just because it was Time Force, but the fact that it was like the first and I think maybe the only team up that continued and like wrapped up Time Force's story.
Yeah.
And, like, that entire thing was absolutely great. I'm going to save my fapping for it until next episode.
Yeah. Like, pretty much, like, see, the last couple team-ups have been just like, blah, 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 blah. But, like, after that, especially the Ninja Storm Wild Force, I think that one even tops the next one for me. It was so great. And they brought in, like, Darth Vader and all those other characters. I don't know. I'm trying to make a joke out of it. I failed horribly. But, yeah. Like, there's not a whole much lot to say. Whole much lot. Yeah, I'm good. A whole lot to say because most of our team-up awesome discussion will be saved for next week.
Yeah.
But then it was just there, and Viper was back, so Brian was excited.
Oh,
he starts punching things.
That's probably the reason I hate this team-up so much. Cause
probably.
It did nothing, and then had Viper, and she was all, like, dead Viper, so she was pale.
But we did get to see, like, where the Lightspeed Rangers are now. Dana's like, I'm a pediatrician. I think she's a doctor, but pediatrician sounds funnier. And Joel and What's-Her-Face are married, Miss Fairweather,
yeah.
Which is neat. I think Chad's still... Is he still swimming? I don't know. Carter's still like, Carter Grayson. Like, what are you doing? He's just going on introducing himself. Like, he just goes to Burger King. Carter Grayson. Red Lightspeed Ranger. That's great, sir. Do you want a combo meal or not? But they ask that question of if you want their special of the week, and then you feel bad because you don't want it. I'm like, would you like to try our new awesome super sandwich? No, on number two. Oh,
it was terrible. One time I went through the drive-thru, like, try your new awesome chicken sandwiches. They're awesome. And like, would you like one? I'm like, no, I want a large Diet Coke. That was all I wanted. McDonald's has those like dollar large Cokes, and like, you seriously can't beat that shit. Honestly. So I just wanted one to get a pop for the road. That was a completely random tangent.
I don't know why I'm wrong.
This has nothing to do with the team up.
I always think about that because I just feel bad. I don't know why I do. Like, I don't think the people honestly care. But anyway, so that concludes the team up discussion. Moral of the story is, feel bad when you don't take the special at McDonald's. Okay, villains.
Arsenal.
Arsenal, yeah, what the fuck?
Suits or Arsenal first?
Suits, sorry. It was Morph suits mixed.
Okay, Morph. It was flashy. It looked pretty cool.
Like, here's from what I understand. Okay, they push the button, they turn into DNA, they get struck by lightning, and then they're morphed. That's what I see.
Sounds like Ben 10.
Yeah, pretty much. Except without the dun 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 dun.
Like,
I like
Eric,
Garrett
like,
better.
Like, gets ignited or something.
And he's like, power fist! And then he just turns into Quantum.
He's like, rock on! And then...
rock on? That'd be a funny morphing call. But, like, they were okay. They looked okay. I don't hate them, but they're not my favorite sequences.
Yeah.
I liked Time Force as a morphing call.
Yeah, it was a nice play on words, I think.
Yeah, and it was catchy, and it sounded nice.
Kind
better
of
than Go, Go, Sam.
But... It flowed really well. Not like Go Go Samurai, which is both long and obnoxious.
Yeah,
Time
and it doesn't.
Time Force like flew across your vocal cords or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it flowed well because Go Go Samurai just sounds like a bunch of samurai discos, where Time Force just sounds nice.
They have a really complicated hand movement.
Yeah, well, all you have to do is push a fucking button.
I still don't really know theirs.
I know a lot
of them, but I don't really... I can never get Time Force because they do all these weird things with their arms.
They like cross their arms and go like... Chuck, chuck, and like pump chuck, their arms chuck, out. Chuck, and then they start breakdancing. And then they get on a headstand, pull their arm around their like neck, and then they push the button. Like, all they have to do is push the button, honestly. Eric's just like, fuck this. Yells
Eric,
at the morph.
Eric has...
What the power, you fuck! And then he morphs.
Eric has the best one ever.
I know, he just
and
yells.
Eric rivals Trent in easy morph...
I know, right?
He's just like, quantum power, raise his hand.
That was like this tradition, like, they started near the end of just saying the name of their suit and then power. Surprised, like, what's his name? Merrick didn't say lunar power.
Lunar power. Moon power.
Moon power.
Merrick, Sailor Moon.
Awesome.
Gets a tiara and a skirt.
But, yeah, the morphing calls were, they're totally fine for me. They were totes fine.
They were totes.
Totally trying to start totes. I don't know how you type that, though, because you type it, it's either, like, totes, like toads, or it's, like, tots. So, anyway, random tangent number two. So, suits.
I like them.
I love the suits. They're so cool.
This is the first season with colored visors, if I remember correctly.
Isn't it, like, the only season that had a full team of it? Because the next one I can remember is White Drago Ranger.
Jacka had colored visors.
That doesn't count.
But
I'm talking about Power Rangers.
They're barely a Sentai.
They're not even. They're not Power Rangers. They don't count.
I'm looking at the thingy.
Force Overdrive.
Looking at the thingy.
The RPM.
Looking at.
I'm not talking. Don't even look pre-Jew.
I'm not looking at them. I'm looking at the thingy.
I'm looking at the thingy. You're just like looking down your pants. I'm looking at the thingy. I'm looking.
Besides Gosei Knight, providing we get a Gosei adaptation.
They were the only team to have. As I was saying, the only team because like Trent was on his own. He just had an angry face.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I skipped him. I don't know how I skipped him.
But that's what I was asking. Because I knew that like there's six of it, but
yeah.
He was the only full team, which is a really unique design choice.
Yeah, like it worked really well too. I don't know why they didn't continue that at some.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Like,
cause it made all the helmets stand out as something.
Yeah.
Different.
And they were so cool. Like, it was, like, the perfect look for, like, a futuristic ranger look.
Yeah.
It looked sleek and cool. And, like, the whole colored visor thing gave a futuristic vibe because it was so different from any present-day ranger teams.
Right.
Or upcoming ones. And, like, the way the morphers flew and the silver, like, gauntlets and the way they had their symbols on their chest with the white and the red and their boots and their... It was just cool.
The one thing that irked me when I was younger... was the fact that the sixth looked identical to red except with like a cool spiky
It was
design.
Originally supposed to be a power up.
But then when I actually watched the show and then realized that it was like the like upgraded prototype thing, he was supposed to be like the leader of the squad or whatever.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. But then it made sense that it was like the replacement for Normal Red or whatever. So it made sense at that point, but when I remember looking at it originally, I'm like, why does he look like the red one? Why is there two reds? This is silly.
Then you just left, and you were like an adolescent 16-year-old.
Then I realized what was going on. I was like, oh, it makes sense now.
Well, behind the scenes, they were going back and forth whether it should be a power-up or not. Yeah. I don't remember if it was back and forth, or they was like the opposite of Triassic, where they're like, it's going to be a power-up, Lowell's just going to be a ranger. But yeah, like that whole prototype, like next generation thing was really cool, and Quantum Suit just came off looking like a next generation cool thing. Yeah. It was just some great suits. I loved them so much better than like the fucked upness of Lost Galaxy and then the blandness of Lightspeed. It's right. Such a great change.
Yeah. Most definitely.
We'll talk about Zero-Man for the rest of the cast. I'm kidding. So Morphers next. Yes. Gear. It's just Gear all over. Yeah. Arsenal. Ultimate Armorite.
The Chronomorphers, they're very simple,
mm-hmm.
But I think it works for the entire theme.
Yeah, like, I like them.
Like
they're
the
not my
DNA
favorite.
And with like the Morpher being like a fingerprint scanner sort of like thing. That like it worked really well.
Yeah, like they're not like my favorites, but I really like them just because they're very sleek and they give off the whole futuristic vibe.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, locked-in, like, Omnitrix deal, like, I like that, because it's a very nice, secure system they got going on.
Yeah.
So someone can't just steal it. Except for the whole Red Ranger key thing totally fucks the other four over.
Yeah. We need the Red Ranger, we can't do it.
And Alex is a total dick, like, he's like, you need to take the Morpher forever! And then they leave, and he just, like, gets up, and he's like, they need it to unlock, they're never gonna make it, lols! Because he was totally alive. Anyway, I thought it was funny. Right. The Quantum Morpher, I love the fact that it's voice activated and stuff. It's not like my favorite design, it just kind of looks funny. Like, if you just look at the shape of it. Mm-hmm. But I like the numbers on it, and I like the voice activated stuff.
Yeah. Voice activating was fairly interesting.
I loved playing. I mean, I wish I had the Japanese version where you can actually command it. But even the one where you control a little kid's voice that controlled it was cool. Let's see, next. The Chrono Blasters. The Chrono Blasters, I think that's what they're called. They're cool. They're little sidearms.
Yeah.
I like those.
There's the Chrono Sabers, and then the Chrono Blasters, and then there was an Electro Booster that attached to the Chrono Saber.
Yeah, I remember that.
There's all sorts of things, but the little blasters were really cool.
Yeah, they looked futuristic and neat, and I like my toy of it. And the Chrono Sabers were cool just for the fact that they did that time hand thing.
Yeah, there
was
like,
really
we're a clock. Woo!
I want to be a clock now. Sounds fun. But I liked those. Like, the V, what were they?
The V weapons?
I said them like the robot.
V.
I'm sorry. I got distracted by something on TV for a second, and then I was like, V. Okay, but those were okay. It was kind of cool. They had, like, giant cannons that just became a big, giant cannon that killed things.
Yeah. Like, but look at these cannons. They combined to a giant one. Brr.
I remember she was like, V3. I'm like, let's make a V3 missile boat. And then I was like, V.
V.
I'm not a robot. What are you talking about? I don't work for Skynet. I work for Dagley Insurance.
Sweet.
Started choking. The cycles were cool. I liked the cycles.
Yeah, the cycles weren't bad. They were
future-y. The fact in the future they had like a generic version for like just general officers, which was a nice touch.
Yeah, that was cool. We forgot about the Quantum Defender.
I was just going over the regular Ranger stuff first.
Okay. Gosh. My bad.
This is the way my brain works. I'm trying to think if there's anything else left for the regular Rangers before we get on to, like, 6th and Battleizers
there's
and stuff.
The Strata Cycle.
Oh, yeah. Generic extra cycle for...
Generic extra bike.
For product placement. It was alright, whatever. So, we'll talk about Quantum Defender now. Now, cat's out of the bag.
Well, I like the Quantum Defender.
The Quantum Defender is the shit. I love that thing. It's like this awesome, like, dinosaur head on a gun, and like, then it becomes a sword.
The toy's really cool, too. Like, I had it, and then I honestly just sold it, because mine was in that great a condition, and if anything, I would want to get a new one that was in better condition.
Yeah.
But, like, it was just so cool. Like, it's just like, T-Rex gun, bah, and then it turns to a sword, which means, like, one mode of the toy is shit, and the other one's good.
Yeah.
But...
like, I'm trained by the Air Force. Can I inspect that? Bonk, bonk. What the fuck, man?
Okay, so you...
oh, that's funny.
Taylor, what are you doing? If I bash against the rock, it'll work better.
Honestly, Taylor, what's wrong with you?
And he had... how many times did he use the Time Force Eagle thing? His
TF Eagle? He used it a few times. I remember he first used it when he went back to the prehistoric times.
Yeah.
It was a handful. That was kind of neat that he had his own little thing.
He had his own little flying go-kart.
Flying go-karts are the shiznit. Anything else? I guess we should talk about Battleizers now.
Yeah. Okay, we'll start with Wes's.
Yeah.
Okay, a suit of, like, medieval armor is probably one of the weirdest things to give a future...
that's what bugs me.
Warrior. Is, like, here's the thing. Like, I dig suits of armor. Like, I love it, but it just doesn't match the whole Time Force motif at all.
Like, let's go over this. Okay, space. Okay, space sort of made sense. Like, he got like a giant butt, like bubble butt muscle suit, but it was still technological. But Lost Galaxy, Ancient Powers gets two cannons on his back. And it's an ancient armor from a naked warrior. And the Time Force of Futuristic Show gets knight armor. Like, what? Okay. But I kind of liked the suit overall, the way it looked. It was kind of neat looking.
Yeah, like, I didn't mind the suit at all.
Just the concept.
It didn't really fit to me, like, at all.
But the helmet was cool, and, like, the whole finisher was cool, but it was weird, like, the fact that they had, like, juxtaposing ideas for the Battleizer and the Rangers. I preferred that to the Lost Galaxy idea, though.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that the origins of that Battleizer were ancient. Oh, ancient giant cannons with slippers? Sign me up. Oh, and then, okay, what is it? Eric's Battleizer?
Eric's Mega Battle.
That's why they gave him a battle suit, because otherwise he gets rollerblades and, like, a visor. Looks like a skating scientist.
It was cool until you added the rollerblades.
Yeah. It was cool that someone else besides the Red Ranger, just like Lightspeed, got something.
Yeah, like, I was really glad they carried over the Mega Battle for one season.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I didn't mind it so much. It was just kind of the whole, like, jet-powered roller skates was kind of goofy.
That's stupid. And, like, the visor didn't look all that cool either. It looked like a giant, like, splatter-proof helmet. In case, like, he gets bugs when he's going, like, hyper-speed with those rollerblades.
Yeah, I think that's it. There's the time jet, but that kind of goes more with Mecha.
Yeah-ish. Which I guess is next.
Mecha. Okay, I guess we'll talk about the time jet now.
The time jet does jet stuff.
It was really, that was it. They hopped on this little jet thing to fly to the
Megazord.
Megazords.
It was a glorified taxi. Let's face it.
It was. It flew up there, it turned into a gun, and that was about it.
But the Zords themselves were very unique. Like, the time jets really didn't do anything on their own. They were just there to transform for the kids.
Yeah.
But the idea of it having two modes was like a neat idea. I prefer reds to blue.
Yeah, I prefer red too. Blue looked too much like
Delta Megazord.
Delta Megazord, and I never liked the Delta Megazord.
Yeah, like, I don't care for mode blue. Mode red was really cool because it looked like a really good, like, standard first Megazord, and it just looked really cool. I really like it.
Yeah.
Really, really, really. V. The Time Shadow was cool, too.
Time Shadow was bitchin'.
I don't understand the point of him running along and, like, destroying buildings with his blades when he enters.
Yeah, he just likes ruining things.
He was like, rawr, rawr, and, like, all the people were like, oh, fuck. Like, they keep having to repair those buildings every week. I didn't really care for the upgraded Time Shadow.
Yeah.
It's like, they just, like, got sunglasses and slippers. It's like a Battleizer. Like, I liked them more individually, the Mode Red and Shadow Force. Or not.
Time Shadow.
No, yeah, Shadow.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's Paul. But, yeah, I didn't like the combined modes. The Q-Rex was the shit.
Q-Rex was awesome. Like, that was a T-Rex done right.
Honestly.
Like, it has giant goddamn cannons on its back, and it's all like... and things, like, die.
was awesome.
And then
And
it,
like,
like, just does this really cool transformation, and then it gets a Gatling gun for an arm.
That's so awesome. I love Quantum.
So the Q-Rex was my favorite of all of the
robots. Oh, yeah. Same here.
In this one, just because I have a thing for dinosaurs, and it was a really cool robot mode, too, and it had a lot of guns.
You have a dinosaur fetish, too? I have some magazines to show you. Oh. I'm just kidding. It's got pictures of Puto Tira.
Oh, yeah.
What's that thing? Yeah, that thing.
I love that guy.
That thing is a pimp.
So cute.
He gets you up to 88 miles an hour like that.
Like I remember before, like, I started majorly collecting, like, I got a deal on the base and Providus is the Japanese name. And I was like, we didn't get one of those, I need it.
Yeah.
And so, like, I got him, he's sitting on my shelf next to Q-Rex, because those are the only two Time Force things I have. But he's just so cool.
Yeah, I like him. He was really cool. I mean, instant 88 miles an hour. Back to 1985.
Like, just the way he launches things, like, he's just like, time to go! Punch! And then they're like, wee!
It's like the most sophisticated launching system ever. Punch
you
millions of dollars of tech.
Giant robot.
What if, like, you wanted to go by yourself and not take a ship? That would suck. You'd probably die. But it would be worth it to get punched by him. He was cool. He was a cool guy.
Like, I remember in Movie Madness, he had to, like, punch himself
in the future.
To get through the gate.
Yeah, that was cool. That was neat.
He's like, how do I do this? God damn it.
My arms don't bend. They didn't give me articulation. I think that's it.
That was it for the Zords. Overall, I liked them for the most part.
Yeah, like, I liked them better than Lightspeeds overall.
Yeah.
They gave the futuristic vibe very well. Did a good job.
They're not my favorite by any means, but they're...
Well, yeah, they're not my favorite, but Q-Rex is probably amongst my top something.
Q-Rex is in my top, just, again, with the dinosaurs. But...
I think that's so
music.
Oh, yeah, music. I must have final thoughts. Thank you. No, I'm kidding. I love the Time Force theme.
It's catchy.
Yeah, I like it. Race into another time. Chronomorphers are online. Timeless Wonders Fire and Thunder doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, like...
They're just trying to get shit to rhyme.
The lyric choices were questionable, but...
But I really like it. Time Force, Power Rangers, Time Force. Yes, we're going to Time Force it out. And I just really liked it.
Like, I don't remember the background music much.
Yeah, but once again, it was kind of like Lightspeed Galaxy, where it kind of had their generic music mixed with, like, a slight remix fitting the tone of that season. Like, there was nothing to, like, fap over or anything. They had some good scores at certain points, but it was basically generic Saban background music after they phased out the Wasserman stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it scored it well. It just wasn't anything to write back about.
Right.
I don't know who we're writing to, but apparently GameStop Girl, because it's faster to send her letters than to send her IMs. But, yeah, pretty much. Like, we'll get more into talking about music once they had awesome background music starting Ninja Storm. So now it's time for final thoughts.
Correct.
You can go first, because I talk a lot during these segments.
Like, Time Force is honestly within my top 5 seasons. It's probably in my top 3. I'd have to think about it. I don't know for sure, but, like, I mean, I didn't watch it as it was airing, because I stopped with Lost Galaxy until SPD. But I went back and watched it, and I had a blast with it. It was such a great season overall. Like, I enjoyed all the characters, even the ones that didn't get that much progressing. The story was really good. I liked the tech. I liked the suits. I liked the theme. I like everything. There just really wasn't that many negatives that I could point out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why, I mean, I know it's one of the more popular seasons, but I think it's one of the seasons that warrants the popularity, I think.
Yeah, it's well-deserved.
And it's just one of the better seasons.
A lot of the people that don't like it, it always comes off as they're not liking it just because it's liked, and they can't really find a good reason.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
It happens a lot. But,
we have those people. But
pretty much, like, what you said is that it's one of my top seasons. It's in my top 5. It's either 2 or 3. It always jumps back and forth, the second and third slot going between Time Force and Dino Thunder. But Time Force was just so fantastic, because it had such a great story. It touched on a lot of, like, mature themes. It had some great drama. The cast was great. You could just tell they had a really great chemistry which is what a lot of previous Saban seasons lacked, was a great like chemistry between the cast that you could just naturally tell. And the suits were great, everything was great, and it was just such an enjoyable story, and it had just such like an emotional impact by the end. And it was just one of the most well-done seasons, which is why it's either my second or third favorite, depending on what I'm talking about at the time.
Right.
Right now it's 2. It'll be 3 when I watch Dino Thunder for this. Crap, I clicked on the wrong thing. I'm going to the forum for the forum section. She called this section What She Said.
You can just
edit it out if there's pauses. Yeah.
Okay. Just kind of jumping right into the first post by Sungle Boy. Like, a lot of what he said was agreeing with me, or us, sorry.
We're the same person now, we're slowly merging.
Like, gotta love Circuit, of course you gotta love Circuit, and if they ever made SHF Time Rangers, he wanted them to include Circuit, and like, fuck including Circuit, just make like an SHF Circuit.
Awesome, I would buy that.
Switchable faces and shit, I'd buy the shit out of that. Zords he thought were interesting, that form change-esque, but he thought that Transwarp was mode yellow. Classic suit design. Yeah, it was definitely a classic feel, but at the same time, incredibly futuristic.
Yeah.
So it was a healthy balance, I think. Loves the weapons, and the Battleizer is cool, but weird. Worst team-up ever. Yep. He says it kind of felt like the guest writers in Chodeno.
Oh,
they
God.
They just kind of appear.
Like, hey, look, it's us.
Hey, look, it's guys from Kiva and the Decade people that are apparently in this movie. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But what he said is what I couldn't stress enough. As for the idea of just copying Sentai plot, it was actually good. Time Force is one of the season that handles the Sentai plot well. He says, unlike Samurai. So,
yeah. I agree with
like
you.
He said, regardless, Time Force will always be one of the most popular PR seasons of all time. In my personal opinion, Time Force ranks number 1, while In Space is number 2, and RPM is number 3. Remembering back when they even wanted to make a Time Force movie in 2001, it's that popular, and we mentioned that. Yeah. But like, I couldn't agree with that more. Like, it takes the Sentai plot, it adds things to it, and it creates just an all-around really good story. Yeah. And Time Force is how you do an adaption.
Yeah, even when you just change the characters so they're not the same characters as the Japanese one, you can tell the difference. And adding something like Rancic. Let's see. Okay, I'm gonna read 2 because I'm gonna read the Fox Time Force one after this. They're shorter ones. Okay, so Electric Turok says that he comments on how, you know, Rancic had a really great in-depth story, which I agree with. And then we have the best comment on here from Oga. I fucks with Time Force. Totally agree, man. I fucks with Time Force, too. He watched some Time Rangers and thought they were good. He thought that they did a good job. Let's see. And then we have Edamon here, who thinks it's one of his favorite PR seasons. A lot of feeling more depth. Basically, a lot of these posts basically echo what we say.
Yeah,
so it's hard to find. Okay, your turn. I'm gonna look for some better ones.
We'll get to that later. Okay, VZ17's got a really long post here, so we'll take a look at this. Great series, plot-wise and other aspects. We'll do. To begin with, I like the theme of time traveling. He's majoring in physics, so... I think this is the first time in PR history as well as sometimes to have a theme like that. It is, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plot kind of developed a little slow, which it did at the very beginning.
Yeah.
By having a lot of filler, entertaining filler, though.
Yeah.
To introduce the characters, the good thing was that we saw the origins of Rancic earlier in the series, which was probably what made him a good character. Like, it didn't wait until the very end to...
Yeah.
To make start him progressing like villains.
Or make a possibility of being redeemable.
I still wonder how he has a daughter if he's a mutant created with chemical waste.
Chemical wastes have penises, too.
some good parts for me were the introduction of Eric and the Quantum Ranger when Alex appeared after everyone thought he was dead in the last episodes.
But he was dead? Sorry, Alex was dead.
But the way how Rancic was stopped and was not climactic, I can kind of agree. The final battle was climactic. But, like, Rancic just, like, oh, I surrender.
I thought it was pretty emotional,
like,
though.
It was anticlimactic, but it was very heavy on the emotion.
Yeah.
It was a different kind of ending.
Yeah, like, it wasn't supposed to be, like, a huge epic battle. It was just supposed to be, like, yeah, I thought they did it well.
Like they did their epic battle with
Brax.
Part one and part two,
And like all
wasn't it?
those like Quantron,
When
Cyclobots that wasn't Aggro
when it
fighting.
was like Wes and Eric and they're like, "Oh Lord," and there's like thousands of them.
Yeah, because it was a brutal battle. Like they got the shit kicked out of them and like demorphed, and they're bloody under the suit, which I never understood because it's supposed to protect them. But whatever.
Eric would have died if it wasn't for the producer or whatever going, "Oh, he can't die."
The producer jumped in the way of the bullet. So.
And he discovers that humans have a good side, blah blah blah. But he wanted to see more action. That's why you check out the first episodes, or the first episodes of the finale. But I admit that the first time I watched, I didn't have any complaints. Liked how Wes and his father could improve their relationship over time and all that fun stuff. Jen stopped being really strict because Wes and Jen started falling for each other, which I thought was a really nice character thing.
Yeah.
Like actually having a relationship and actually kind of like not just hinting towards it, but actually like having like remote, not romantic, but like emotional development in that aspect as opposed to just saying,
yeah,
oh, Mike kind of likes Emily, lol.
Kimberly hearts Tommy.
Like, it was like that, except done right and not, like, high school.
Yeah.
Silver Guardians, Lucas, Katie, and Trip were bricks. Pretty much. Zords were cool and all that fun stuff. Most of the rest is just agreeing with us. But yeah, I wanted to point out the thing about the ending.
Yeah. Chris commented on how, like we said, like, the Pink was a leader at first, and how it's nice that not everyone blindly followed the Red Ranger, which is nice. Like,
yeah, because like they didn't like him at first. Like they're like, you're here because we need you to make these work.
Although I think it was just Jen that didn't like him at first. The other four were like, dude, your tote's cool.
Jen was kind of being like Kevin in Samurai. Like, and Tony was not a samurai. He's a Durin. Like,
oh, I totally
like,
forgot.
Oh no, you're Tot.
I totally forgot to mention. I like the fact that Wes's martial arts skills were explained in his prep school stuff, like he's like trained in it.
Yeah.
Like I totally like that they just know, like, oh, because he's a ranger, he's automatically like gets an intersect and like can just do all the shit.
Yeah.
Like that made sense. Zio Red has an interesting comment here, which I thought about. It says for a season based on time travel, they didn't do it that much. Like obviously it was done different, but any comments on how you think they'd be traveling through time? And he talks about budget. Like, that actually would have been cool if they somehow could have harnessed that.
Yeah, like, it would have been an interesting take on Time Ranger.
Yeah,
by
like
making it a show where they constantly travel to different times.
That would have been a good season, too, if they decided to do something.
Yeah, that would have made a good season, too. Like, I feel like if they used it for the first one, it would be a little bit too episodic.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, feel like decayed, like,
feel
traveling
like
to different times and stuff. Well, that's probably a better analogy, because he actually time travels if...
Yeah,
I know that at all, but I agree. I think it could have made a fairly decent basis for season two, having like time traveling villains, and like they go to different times and they have to follow them around and beat them so they don't fuck up time or whatever.
Yeah, like that would have been a good season
that
two.
That would have been a really interesting season two. Someone make a fic of that if you didn't do it already.
Yeah, so we can read it and then make a movie so we don't have to read it.
Yeah. And my friend Jeff, I love her Time Force.
I love her Time Force, and I fucks Time Force. We're gonna have a good time.
This is just like a giant Time Force orgy. Jeff lovers Time Force. One guy fucks Time
Force. Time
Force. All that. I know Jeff's a huge fan of the Transwarp, and because he's adorable, I want a Transwarp plushie.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
The fuck
to go with Pikmons? Forever Transwarp.
Forever Transwarp. And he liked Circuit and Trips, like a little robo friendship, and about 9/11 ruining certain aspects. But
yeah.
I think all in all they did manage fairly well considering 9/11. Considering
yeah, they did.
Some things got total ass raped, like what am I thinking of? I want to say it was Digimon or something, but I don't think it was. It was something I watched on Fox Kids that like died after.
General Hospital got rewrites.
Died after 9/11. Like, something happened. I don't remember what it was, if anyone can remember. What was Tamers airing during that time?
Tamers was 2003. No, it wasn't. Was it? It was 2002 or 2003, I think. Unless I'm totally wrong.
Maybe it was season 2. I don't remember. It wasn't even Digimon at all. I don't remember, but something.
Yeah, because 2003 was... Tamers, I think, aired with Wild Force. That was the last year that Digimon was on the air there. Because then it was Frontier when they went to, like UPN... Whatever. Digimon Histories. That's where the Digimon rambles later in like 18 million episodes. We have to comment on Kiefer's comment because he's like our most epic commenter. A lot of his comment here kind of agrees with us about the better acting and Dan Salworth doing awesome. It could, like, talking about how it's a shame the others didn't get as much focus. And how Lucas kind of came off as obligatory Blue Ranger. Mm-hmm. Gluto was just there. He literally said that. See? The team up agrees with one of the weaker ones. It could have benefited from being a two-parter, definitely. Next season. See, Kiefer, you're basically us. You should just be here. Like, you're saying the same stuff we are. Like, Mode Red better. Better acting. Fantastic season. See? Basically agree with us.
Power Geek, another one of our loyal commenters.
Yeah.
Basically, again, said a lot of things that we said. Like, while 99% Time Ranger, it was really, and I mean really good. Each character seemed to have their own fair time in the spotlight, which I like. I quasi-disagree with that for the other three, but they had shining moments here or there, except Katie can go cry in a corner. all actors had great camaraderie, which I felt they did, and most of them were really good, above the usual PR standard. Written walls. There was real drama and emotion. You could feel it. Love between Jen and Wes, hatred from Rancic, jealousy, not to mention pure awesomeness from Eric, and friendship from the other Rangers. I can go on and on.
Yeah. He likes Katie, though. He loves Katie. He thinks she's very lovable. She was a... I thought almost that she was a really nice guy. I thought it would have been funny if he would have wrote that.
Aw, Hina is like Katie, except Asian, and goes every time she tries to lift something heavy.
And now her dreams are stolen.
Trip was kind of an improved Billy.
He farts to fly. See, Power Greek thought, which is freaking awesome.
Fly.
The dance from this. See, everyone just agrees with us.
Alex sees a big fat doofus face. He's an interesting character. Yeah, he has a big fat doofus face.
We got more conflicting stuff with Lightspeed a little bit, but a lot of basically just a lot of agreement over around these parts. Just a few of things like Katie and a few other things.
A lot of people on the boards are liking the Quantum Mega Battle. And
yeah.
I have to say, I disagree with that. You heard.
Yeah. I don't really care about much either.
I think it was just cool that he got something, really.
Yeah, it was definitely nice he got something. It just could have been better, but.
Rollerblades.
They're time traveling rollerblades.
Fuck yeah.
They have little flux capacitors in their heels. But, yeah, thank you all for leaving feedback. Please continue to do so.
Yep. I'll open up the...
I think Wild Force might have more conflicting opinions. I'm not sure.
Wild Force should be interesting.
Yeah.
Because it is very... kind of like Lightspeed-esque to me.
It's very mixed.
It's got ups and downs on both extremes, so...
Yeah.
So, we'll see how that goes. So, I'll open up the thread. Go ahead and post your thoughts on Wild Force, and we'll be here next week.
Oh, and thank you to Ryoko for making an awesome new logo for Retrospective Ranger Rambles.
That'll be seen. Usually I put like the season logo, but I'm pretty much just going to plop that banner in there. So yeah. You'll see the Retrospective Ranger Rambles Time
That's
Force.
That's totally
thing.
Awesome.
Really awesome. So
continuing
thanks
to prove
Ryo
how awesome
he is. Everyone should message Ryo and say, like, you are a god.
Just send just give a message, no subject, open. You are a god, exclamation point.
No, like, seriously, like, the three of us might be faces for RR, but seriously, that guy is, like, the embodiment.
Yeah, none of this would be possible without him. None of the major stuff that goes down, honestly.
Honestly.
So now it's time for...
Final things!
Besides, like, just totally loving the fact that everyone posts their comments in the Ramboard threads now,
mm-hmm.
There really isn't too much to go over.
Yeah, just, you know, continue to comment about the seasons to add to the discussion, and then we also, as always, appreciate the feedback on the podcast. We've been past two or three podcasts, we've really, really appreciated the more feedback, because we always had Kiefer's epic comments and Power Geeks, but it's really nice to get a larger feedback. Just want to know what we're doing right, and I'm glad the summaries were going over well.
Yeah.
I don't think there was... I feel like there was something else, but I can't remember it.
I don't think there was.
Oh, just about the question Q&A for the anniversary thing. we're going to leave that up for about another week, and we're going to film it at some point next week.
Yeah.
But thank you all to all who have submitted questions, and we will sift through them. And once again, nothing personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing that next week. We're leaving it up for another week, so you have about another week to think of anything you want to ask us.
Yep.
I think that's about it.
That is it.
Dot, 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 dot.